for Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
And I would like to ask you a couple of questions.
Sure. Go ahead, shoot.
Well, for instance, what are your qualifications?
Ah, well, I attended Juilliard. I'm a graduate of the Harvard Business School. I travel quite extensively. I lived through the Black Plague, and I had a pretty good time during that. I've seen The Exorcist about 167 times, and it keeps getting funnier every single time I see it. Not to mention the fact that you're talking to a dead guy. Now, what do you think? You think I'm qualified?
What I mean is, can you be scary?
Oh, hey, don't ask me. Can it be scary? What do you think of this? You like it?
Excuse us, please.
Sure, talk amongst yourselves.
Beware of the big green dragon that sits on your doorstep. Eats little boys, puppy dog tails, and big fat snails. Beware. Take care. Beware.
Wait! Pull the string! Pull the string!
Oh, yeah! Pull the string! Hey, everybody! Happy Halloween, a week early, but still. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you very much. Yeah, good times. Yeah. It's Friday again, everyone. We're here to talk film, television, and pop culture. I'm so pretentious. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here, Bill, because Steven isn't. He's not here. He just text messaged me that he was getting on a plane in California, so I'm going to bet that he won't be here in time by the end of the show.
He's going to get in rather late. What is that, like a 3.5-4 hour flight from there?
Yeah, I think it's about 3 hours, depending on, you know, if the plane is on time, leaving, and all that stuff. But who knows? But poor Steven, he won't join us. Maybe he'll get back in time for us to call him collecting his baggage.
Yeah, I doubt that.
But I'm glad you're here, Bill, because is anyone in the chat room? Do they remember we're doing a show tonight?
I didn't think anybody would, but Don Chep and Montreal Guy are in there.
Well, that's good, because, you know, last week at the end of the show, I announced we were going to take 2 weeks off, but I said, first, we're going to do one more show, but maybe no one actually heard that part. They're like, oh, okay, whatever. They're not going to be there.
Yeah, they probably thought we were just taking off now.
Yeah, maybe I should, you know, a lot of times I forget to announce things. Maybe I should always forget.
I was hoping that nobody would show up, because then we'd take the night off.
Yeah, that's true. But this will be our last show for 2 weeks, so we'll be back on November 14th.
This is our last show.
Last show ever?
Unless people start donating money.
Or giving feedback, too.
Yeah, we're giving an ultimatum.
Yeah,
give us money or we're gone. Bye.
Yeah, we didn't get enough feedback last week, so it was just like, yeah, we got some feedback. Whatever. Not enough. I guess...
Normally it's a little more active. Swiley was good, but then he had to call me out on my MST3K infatuation. Bastard.
But I do want to announce this, Bill. When we come back, we will be at a new time.
Yeah, we will.
At 9, 8 Central. And I'm going to have to watch Smallville the night before from now on, because I always work that in fine, you know, right before we start the show. I always just...
Yeah, you have to save the best for last.
Yes, that's right. You know, because, you know, Smallville...
God, that show's bad.
Smallville is so good that, you know, you got to soak it all in, then do the show so everything's fresh.
You have to digest it.
Yeah. I actually thought this is one of the least horrible episodes.
we'll get to it later. But
which isn't saying much.
Yeah, it wasn't particularly good. It just kind of... You know what? It was one of those cheap episodes where they tried to imply one thing and it ended up being another.
And then the shocker ending. Yeah, it's like, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They just kind of work. You know, maybe if they work... Oh, we'll get to it later. I can't talk about that right now. But seriously... you know, all that kind of stuff. Now, remember last week when I talked about Steven and I, we finally did our lines for Lost in Mulberry. Poor Mick McCarty had been waiting for us to record our lines.
I remember he wanted to get it out before October, and here it's almost the end of October.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do, right?
But you know, life comes at you, and you have things that have got to get done.
So
there are sacrifices that need to be made.
What I did is I recorded my lines, and then I waited for Steven to get here last week before the show. And I said, Steven, here, do your lines, and then we'll have a little bit of time, and then we'll start the show. And I went into the other room, and he told me when he was done. So later on, I was going to send it to Mick, and I was going to edit out all the ums and the ahs, you know, because it's not a live show on Talk Radio X. It's a... It's a recording for a podcast, right? So it's okay to edit out the ums and the ahs. So I was listening to, you know, sometimes, all the time, Mick will have a line that's very hard to say. It's like a lot of words at once.
Yeah.
And I'll have to say it over and over again until I get it. But I was listening to Steven's take, and I realized he had a really difficult time spitting this one line of dialogue out. And I was listening, and he kept trying to say it over and over. And I just started laughing my ass off. I was just like, oh, my God, this is hilarious. Because he kept trying to spit it out. And he never mentioned this to me, like, hey, there's one line I just couldn't say or whatever. But you got to hear this. Man, it cracked me up.
He didn't even try to soften the blow of, hey, I got really tongue-tied.
No, nothing like that. He didn't warn me. But since Steven's not here, let's go ahead and have fun at his expense.
Yeah, totally.
Let's check this out.
Yeah. Did you bully... Yeah, did you bowl you? Yeah, did you bowl lure you? Yeah, did
Lou lure you?
Yeah, did you bowl you? Yeah, did you bowl lure?
Lure. Let's see, he's getting frustrated.
Yeah, did Lou bowl?
Lou bowl.
Whoa!
Did Lou bowl?
Yeah, what did you bowl do, Lou? You. Yeah, what? Yeah, what did... Yeah, did you... Yeah, did you bowl lure you hosers to this volcano with fat backs and donuts?
Yeah, he did it! He finally said it! I love it. Yeah. Yeah, he just keeps doing it. Wow.
Yeah. Did you bowl... Yeah, did you bowl...
First of all, we've already established that his name is Uwe Boll.
Yeah.
But still, he did you bowl? Maybe Uwe Boll would have helped him say the line better. Did Uwe Boll?
Who are you? Yeah. Did yeah. Did you bowl you?
You bowl?
Yeah. Did you bowl lure? Yeah. Did Lou bowl?
Lou bowl. Who the hell is Lou bowl?
What is that weird
yeah,
vibration?
What did you bowl do? Lou you. Did you bowl lure you hosers to this volcano with fat backs and donuts?
Yeah, he did it. I love that. I love how Steven. Just after a bit he goes, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, what the heck is that? And at one point, it's so loud,
yeah, what
it
did
like
bowl
it,
do? Lou, you...
it hums.
Yeah, it goes. It shorts out the mic, I think. Good time, Steven. You know, and you know, I know what Steven would say if he was here. Let's hear some of your takes. None of mine were that funny, so that's why I'm not playing it.
I, you know what? I didn't have that many lines, but I guess because I've done so many line readings, I don't really get my tongue tied around stuff. But Steven, man, that's
genius.
Poor bastard.
I love it.
Yeah, what did you bowl do, Lou? You...
All right, we don't have any voicemail this week, which is fine. I don't care. Let's get into entertainment, Bill. Let's do it.
All right.
All right, Bill, let's talk about this game that you've been playing all week long. Or is it the past 2 weeks?
No, just this week. I think I got it on, like, Monday.
It's called Dead Space.
Dead Space, yeah.
Now, all I know about it is it takes place in space and there's weird monsters and stuff.
There's
so
dead
tell me
things.
About it. Tell me all
yeah,
about
it. Yeah, it's a survival horror game. Not horror, but horror. It's a team of people go up to this Planet Cracker ship, which is mining a certain area in space, and they don't get a... I guess they lose contact with it. They go there and find out that this thing is overrun with these necromorphs.
Yikes.
And you basically have to fix everything that goes wrong, pretty much.
What, you're fixing the ship and stuff? Or...
Yeah, exactly. You have to fix the ship because once you get there, someone sabotages your ship, so you're stuck on there.
All right.
And it's a terrific game. It's really it has scared the living crap out of me a number of times. I just finished chapter 6. I believe there's 12 chapters, so I'm a little more than halfway through.
Nice.
I just beat the first boss, which wasn't really that tough. But he killed me one or two times before I figured out how to beat him.
The graphics look gorgeous. It really does.
Oh yeah, it's very this. I think the shining star of the thing is the sound design. It's like when you enter like a vacuum in it, everything is dulled, like the entire thing. No, Montreal guy in the chat room says you can only use your miner's tools. No, actually, that's not the case. You start out with what's called a plasma cutter. And it's good because it's not like your typical first-person shooter where you have to just, you know, shoot away. You actually have to dismember these necromorph creatures. Cut off an arm, cut off a leg, cut off a...
Holy crap.
You know, an antenna... to bleed them out. That's the only to slow them down, bleed them out. That's the only way to kill them. And some you can't even kill. Some you just have to slow down so that you can get away from them. But you know, you start out with a plasma cutter, and then throughout the game you collect money, and then you can go to the store.
You what?
And buy.
You collect. Yeah, you go to a store.
Yeah, there's a store at the beginning of each level where you can, you know, purchase a plasma.
Is there like a guy like running the store?
No, it's an electronic store. It's really kind of cool the way it works.
I was going to say, dude, shouldn't you get out of here? Because, you know, there's monsters there.
By an extra person.
I'll never abandon my store.
You can get like a pulse rifle and
sweet.
Just different really cool guns and stuff. But it's all about, you know, dismembering. So there's a lot of cutting things. Like one of them is called the Ripper, and it's actually a remote saw blade that you shoot, and it stands out about 10 feet in front of you, and you can just like use it to saw through things, or you can just shoot the blade. There's all kinds of really cool stuff. But there's no just mining tools.
That would have been cool. Like, there's a part where you wander into a mining cart level.
In short rounds in the cart?
Yeah.
No, but it's a really unnerving game. And
those are space sounds.
That sounds like the game, actually.
Oh, Steven has a question about the game, Bill.
Okay.
Yeah, what did you bowl do?
There is no bowling in the game, I'm sorry.
There's no bowling level, yeah.
But from what I understand, I think it's later on in the game. At one point, there's actually like a break in the game where you can actually play different little games.
Oh,
in,
cool.
In the game.
Like Shenmue, you know, Space Harrier or something?
Yeah, that's all I've heard is that, you know, at some point in a later, after you finish a later chapter, there's kind of like a break where you can play little mini games.
Cool, man. It looks really awesome. I don't know if I had the game, I would, as soon as I dropped my daughter off at school, I'd play it until I'd have to pick her up or something. You know,
once I finish it, I'm going to send it off to you so you don't have to buy it.
Dude, I can't wait to play
it. It's a really terrific game. But I said, like, the sound design in it is so incredible. Everything about it, it's not just like, you know, in some games you have like a little pipe creak here, a room creak there. It's just, it's all encompassing. It's just, you'll experience it once you get it, but it's so hard to explain. I can't recommend it enough. If you have a PS3 or a Xbox 360 and you want to get the shit scared out of you on a regular basis.
What do you have it on?
I have it on the 360. I get most of my games on the 360. Because I've said it before, I hate PS3 controller. I've always hated the DualShock controller.
Yeah, see, I was always used to the DualShock because I always had, you know, played the PlayStation and the PS2. But then when the 360, I'm used to that controller now. I don't think I can go back.
It's the offset thumbsticks.
Yeah, once you go 360, you never go back.
Yeah, so...
Right, Steven? I guess not.
But yeah, I really, really enjoy it. It's a great game. Each chapter runs about an hour, and after I finish one
Holy
chapter,
shit.
I take a break. So I'm frazzled at the end of each chapter. So it's taken me a little while. I've taken 2 days off from it, but I'll probably hit it again tomorrow.
Hit that, yo. Now what is
this?
I
want to get it done.
What does it deal with this Star Wars MMO?
Yeah, BioWare has teamed up with LucasArts, and they're doing a new Star Wars MMO called Star Wars The Old Republic. So it's based like 3,000 years...
Holy crap.
Like before A New Hope, or just the original Star Wars. I can't believe I called it A New Hope.
Is it like... I guess we should explain to people if they don't know, MMO, Massive Multiplayer...
Multiplayer Online... Normally it's MMORPG, but for short it's just MMO.
Or is this an MMO action game, or is it an RPG type of game?
I think it's more of an RPG, but they're really concentrating on action. They haven't explained a whole lot. They've revealed a couple little tidbits. Let me bring it up real quick.
I mean, do they have to? I had this question about it, Bill. When I didn't play any of the Knights of Old Republic games, so do they have to invent all the ships? The droids have to look different and all that, or is it all? You know what I mean?
You know, no. Yes and no. I can't really. I played one of the Knights of the Old Republic game, and it's Star Warsy, but it's different. You know, it's old Star Wars stuff that we've never really seen before.
Okay, yeah, that's what I mean. So basically, they have to invent everything from the ground up. But these guys did the other games, right?
These guys that are doing this one did the Knights of the Old Republic games.
Oh, okay. So that should be interesting. Now, have you seen the new Gears of War 2 trailer that's out?
Oh God, yeah. They used it.
How did they improve on the graphics of the first one? Seriously, and they did.
I think they revamped the Unreal Engine that they use on that. And they made it run a little smoother, so they could do a couple more things.
And you know, another thing about Dead Space that you were telling me about that we didn't really mention is it takes elements from a lot of different games, but puts them in their game.
Oh yeah, definitely. And movies. I mean, you've got Alien, you've got Aliens, you've got Event Horizon, and the games it uses like the weapon switching is very reminiscent of the original Gears of War. The aiming system is almost right out of Resident Evil 4.
Oh,
it uses
really?
Kind of the laser system.
Is your guy off to the kind of the left on the screen?
It's a third-person shooter. But what's cool is that they've incorporated... There's no HUD. They've incorporated the HUD into like a holographic system.
You showed me that. You sent me this... it was the IGN review of it, and it was in HD. And I put it on a little flash drive and put it in the controller USB of the 360, and I watched it on the TV, which is really cool, because you know I'm just probably everyone knows you could do that, but I'm real slow at stuff. Like, hey, I wonder if this will work. Oh, I did. Wow, that's so cool. But when they were showing footage of the guy running, and it shows like instead of like a menu screen, it shows the menu screen on his heads up display, like floating in front of him. I thought that was badass and so creative, you know?
Yeah, it really is the way they handle that. Like they put the health meter on his back. Since it's a third-person shooter, so you can see that there's a stasis meter, this little half-circle thing that you can use. That actually, one of the main things in the game is really slowing down these necromorphs. So you kind of shoot this, I guess you'd almost call it a freeze ray at them, and it slows them down to almost a full stop.
Those are nothing like the necromancers from the Vin Diesel movie, right?
No, I'm sorry. No, they're not like the necromancers. They're more like uber demons with... You know that they kind of reminded me of is... I don't know. You never played Bioshock, have you?
No, I have not.
There's a group in Bioshock called the Splicers, and they kind of have like hooks for arms and stuff. It's like if the Splicers fell into a vat of acid.
Yeah, I've seen footage of that. It's creepy as hell. I love the commercial that's on TV. You'll see it like during prime time where the space guy is there looking around and all of a sudden the thing's behind him. It like envelops him or whatever.
Yeah, there's moments like that in the game that just...
We're like, oh, shit!
Yeah. There's moments where I've gone like, oh, shit! And then I laugh at myself because it scared me.
Yeah.
It's kind of embarrassing.
Like, is there anything where you open a door and it's like, ah! Or something?
You know what's funny about that is there's no real scares like that. They wait until you're comfortable. You can open the door, you move a little bit, and then they come at you.
Now,
like,
Bill,
so it lulls you into a false sense of security.
We have a phone call. Hello, you're on the air. How can we help you? Happy Halloween.
Did I miss all the 360 talk?
No, not yet. We were just starting.
Sweet.
I was talking about Dead Space.
Now, I heard you talking about Dead Space, and I heard you guys talking about Star Wars MMO.
Yeah,
and
yes,
then
sir.
I said I got to call in.
Yeah, and we were starting to talk about the Gears of War 2 trailer that came out.
Oh yeah, very sweet.
Yeah, it's cool. From the same team that did the Mad World one. And they used the Vachka song called How It Ends, and it just fits perfectly because it's them all up on the surface enjoying their last few moments before they get in this, like, mining elevator.
It's a minecart sequence. It's awesome.
Yeah, they drill
down. You know
what?
The first Gears of War does have a minecart sequence. God, I hate that level, too.
Oh, that's the one where all the little jumpy bastards.
Either you would die or I would die. But, you know, we would never, like, live both times, like, forever. Like, oh, shit, I died. And
what are those things called? The exploding little monkey bastards.
The wretches.
Wretches, that's right. They were lambent wretches because they would come at you and then they would explode after you killed them.
I hate those things.
Yeah, that was a pain in the ass. That took us, like, 2 days to get passed on insane.
I'm going
to
say I don't even want those in the next game. Oh, you know they're going to be there, though.
They'll be there.
Hey, Andy. Steven has a question for you.
Yeah, what did you bull do? Lou, you...
when you played that, I swear, I almost had a hernia. I was laughing so hard. That's hilarious. I've got my own little collection of outtakes that I've done from Lost in Mulberry, but I think they're top secret stuff, though.
It's so funny that he didn't say anything to Jason. Like, did he not think that Jason was going to hear it?
Maybe he knew that. I'll just let him discover that on his own.
But my favorite is when he goes, "You
poor Steven."
It's almost like when you almost go the wrong way and you turn to the right and said,
"I love whenever he can't even get you bull out." He goes, "Did Lou lol?"
That's the best part. Yeah. That's the best.
Did you bowl?
Yeah. Did you bowl that it's Uva bowl?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you bowl Lou or you?
So Mick's gonna get that, and he's gonna be like, everyone says Uva bowl except Steven.
Did you bowl you? Yeah. Did you bowl Lou or
you? Beautiful.
Yeah, did
so
you bowl?
Andy, are you going? Have you decided what you're going to get?
Yeah. What's that
whistle? What the hell? It does. It sounds like a space elevator.
Hey,
echo on that. You have some power.
Well, let's talk about Gran Torino real quick, the new Clint Eastwood trailer. Just because I just watched it. Have you seen it, Andy?
I haven't seen that yet.
It's up on firstshowing.net.
Yeah, watch the trailer of that. It's Clint Eastwood talking in his gravelly voice that I guess... I know he doesn't talk like that, but how come his last five roles he has that gravel voice? You know
what
I mean?
Maybe that's his voice now.
But I swear, when you hear him in interviews, he's very soft-spoken like this, but
he's always talking like this when he's in a movie now.
Yeah, it's like he's his jaw is clenched and he's talking through his teeth.
Let's see the boxing movie. For some reason, I can't remember the name.
Million Dollar Baby.
Million Dollar Baby.
Gunny Highway.
And then
Gunny Highway.
Yeah, in Heartbreak Ridge, he had that voice.
That movie's so stinking bad. Oh, you know, I always remembered liking that film, and then I went back and watched it like I don't know a year or two ago, and it was laughable. It was hideous with Mario Van Peebles.
Yeah, it's got
like,
Sonny Spoon in it.
Ridiculous fool.
Yeah.
It's bad.
I'm
it's
a huge
bad.
Fan of Pink Cadillac.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yes.
For every good movie he's done at least two bad movies.
I'm still waiting for a sequel.
Everyone's under the illusion that he's Mr. Perfect Director, and they forget Pink Cadillacs. They forget the, you know, the Heartbreak Ridges.
He's working through some things, and now he's got a great track record, even though...
He does. He's been doing really good. I can't wait to see... The Changeling with the guy from Burn Notice.
You know, I can't tell what the hell that movie is about.
Yeah, it's about a lady that her son's gone, and then they say
Here you go. Here's your son.
I have no idea what it's about either.
Yeah, it's like, here's your son.
It's got a very pale Angelina Jolie in it.
And she's like, no, that's not my son. It's like, dun, dun, dun.
It looks about like a movie that I'm not going to see in the theater.
It doesn't like look interesting at all. I'm sorry. I mean, maybe it
was. No,
yeah, pass.
What about the other changeling, the George
yeah,
C. Scott Hopeful?
Do Lou you?
Yeah, this is not the sequel. This is not the remake.
I don't think I've ever seen that movie, but I think I remember it being creepy. At least hearing that, was it, or is it just stupid?
Yeah, that
as
was
hell?
The one. It had like the old time wheelchair and stuff. Yeah, very creepy.
I remember the word changeling being used in Star Trek a lot. For those guys who could morph, like Odo and whatnot in Deep Space Nine.
Okay, so is her child Odo?
Yeah, that's it. That's, no, he's liquid metal, as I think.
It's a mimetic polyalloy.
You're going to say it or I'm going to say it?
Hey, go ahead, you say it.
Knives is diamond weapons.
Yes! Hell yeah! You know, we haven't had that on the show.
Jason's birthday, I sent him... Terminator 2 director's cut on HD DVD.
I forgot to mention that. It's my birthday this Sunday, just so everyone knows.
Yeah, so we're sending some donations.
Yeah, send me
Jason needs money to get Gears of War 2 so we can play.
I'm gonna
talk about it on the show.
I have some of that Gears of War money too, so
I'm gonna see Andy and Bill on Xbox Live playing that. I'm just gonna be crying myself to sleep.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to do some prostitution to be able to make that $60, though, I'm telling you. No, $80 or $70. I'm not going to buy the regular, like, you know, collector's edition or be damned, you know?
I bought the Amazon one that comes with the gigantic Lancer.
Holy shit. That, nice.
Yeah, it was like $140, but I don't care. That thing's going on my wall.
Oh, my God. How cool would it be if that gun worked? You go, you could chop
makes,
a tree down with
this sound, but it doesn't, you know. You go outside. I'm sure somebody out there could make a real Lancer out of a chainsaw. I've seen the toy one.
You know, I know the Lancer's cool, but I want a sniper rifle myself. How can I get that?
You could always get that one that's in the Rambo movie that explodes heads. That's pretty close to the
one. I know. All of a sudden, what you're shooting at turns into CGI, and it blows up.
Yeah.
So cool.
I'll pick the Needler with little pink shards.
It's because you're homo.
Why do I gotta be Mr. Pig? Because you're a fraud.
I want a shotgun from Bad Company is what I want. That auto shotgun.
Yeah, that gun's mean.
Can you imagine? Picture a zombie movie, but everyone has auto shotguns. How sweet would that be? They've been going...
Speaking of zombie, man, Left 4 Dead comes out, what, November 17th? On Xbox 360?
There's too many good games coming out, man. We need, like...
When does Gears come out?
Bash. We gotta go do a heast.
Yeah.
Gears comes out the week before that.
I'm screwed.
Dude, there's like... There's
stuff coming out. You got Gears 2. You got... Well, I want to get Mirror's Edge.
I'm totally in for that.
You had
Fable 2 last week, Far Cry 2 last week.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Screwed.
I mean, it just keeps coming. It's like
Fallout 3 next week, which looks amazing.
Basically, it's like this, Bill. When I played Gears of War finally, after it was my last birthday, and you got me Gears of War with the 360, how long had the game been out? Like a year? I'm going to have to wait a year to play Gears and get to Left 4 Dead instead.
So, yeah, Gears of War 2 comes out on November 7th. Call of Duty World at War comes out on November 11th.
What the hell, man? Can't these guys space this shit out a little bit?
Left 4 Dead is November 17th.
Man, that's the same day as Mirror's Edge, isn't it?
No, Mirror's Edge comes out the same day as Call of Duty World at War.
Duty.
So it's like you got about.
I've been trying to get into the Call of Duty World at War beta. It looks pretty sweet. I want to kill me some Chinese or Japanese.
Oh my god!
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I'd be like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino.
Yeah, you got to see
Chinese.
That.
Nice guy. Let's do it.
All right.
Let's eat it.
Why don't we keep the show rolling and get into what's on our TiVo?
Yes. We talked enough video games. People in the chat room are bored. They're like, what are these people doing talking about video games?
Well, I'm Bert Umber, so I'm not there right now. So.
You mean the two people that are in the chat room?
Oh, you're Bert Umber, Andy? I was like, who the hell is Bert Umber?
I'm Bert Umber, and probably whoever else is Wesley. I don't know. He's sitting in the other room doing it.
No, it's Montreal guy, Ichi Dakilla, Don Chip, and you.
Takashi Mike. Yes. We need to get him in there.
Takashi Mike, yes.
All right, Andy. Happy Halloween.
All right, guys.
And you're not going to see us for 2 weeks.
Watch out for demons.
Watch out for snakes.
What are
you Yeah, exactly.
I'm doing drops, yeah.
I love that.
Watch out for snakes. Material tonight.
All right, man. Have a good one.
All right, guys. Game night. See you later.
Yes, totally. I'm in.
All right, let's get into What's on our TiVo? And I'm going to rate that phone call as good.
Andy's always good.
It always
he wants a needler.
That Skype thing always pops up. And Steven, what do you think of the needler gun in Halo 3?
That was his impression of it firing.
Oh, cool. It's like a machine gun sound.
I'm glad that Steven could make it.
Me too. Thanks for being here, Steven. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, what did you all do?
I love whenever you do that. I think Ichi the Killer in the chat room is freaking out. Like, no, it's me, Kay! What's wrong with you?
But you gotta love that. One thing about Takashi Mike is he doesn't do disturbing movies. They're nice family films.
Yes, he's up there with Stephen Chow in the family films.
He could do a Pixar type movie. I would love to see that.
I think his next movie is going to be Shaolin Soccer Deathmatch.
That's a great thing.
It's the sequel to the Stephen Chow movie.
All right, Bill, I was watching Regis this week with Regis and Kelly. Yeah, he's so funny. And he was, you know, basically on that show, what they do is they read out of the newspaper at the beginning.
Yeah, that's always my favorite segment.
They're just sitting there with the newspaper. Hey, I read this article today, and it's crazy.
Hey, Kelly, look at this.
So let's see when he finally spits his story out, they turn it into entertainment. We could learn something from this. I'm going to...
Oh, totally.
Next time we do the show, we're going to just do it with the newspaper. So let's check this out.
You're drinking coffee here?
I am.
And I've noticed over the years that you really are an avid coffee drinker.
I drink coffee every day.
Absolutely, but you know... Various cups of it.
But there's milk in them.
Yeah, sure, but it's still coffee, all right?
Whatever you're about to say, I disagree with.
Well, you can't disagree with this because this is a new study just out.
Yeah.
And it has found
the other studies
that drinking
always...
caffeine
it's just
over
out.
An extended period of time makes women's breasts shrink.
That's horrible.
Yeah, especially for her.
Come on, look, take it. Let's go.
Is that it?
Right here, for crying out loud.
You mean that's it?
I wondered why. I mean, you're a healthy woman. You're full of muscles.
I am, yes.
Yeah, well, get
Unreal.
Off the coffee.
So you think if I gave up the coffee...
I think it would help.
You think?
Wow.
What did you talk about?
Yeah,
what was on The View?
Nothing on The View this week, but you know, one thing about Kelly Ripa, I remember when she first went on the show, she seemed kind of shapely. She seemed kind of attractive.
Oh,
she's
definitely.
She's turned into a stick, man.
Yeah, she's it's boobs. Very unattractive.
She's wasted away. I don't know what the hell's going on with her.
I hate when girls do that. It's just give me, you know.
Does she have that?
Have some meat on your bones.
That body dysmorphic thing or something?
Yeah, right.
I don't know. But, hey, you know, we don't have anything on The View because all they do is they talk about Sarah Palin now or Obama. So there's no reason
then,
to listen to that.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck gets upset.
No,
and angry
I don't agree with that. Well, I don't agree with that. So who gives a shit about that? But Marsha Brady wrote a tell-all book, Bill. And she
What is she telling?
She's telling about the drugs she's done, the sex she's had, the blackouts she's had, and all that stuff.
I'm gonna barf.
And what's funny is she was on this horrible show called Mike and Juliet, I think.
Oh, that's the the syndicated morning show.
Right. And obviously they haven't read the book, but they have the bullet points, you know, all each thing happened in the book.
That's convenient.
So listen how they awkwardly ask her these very personal questions. Now, I know that she has no problem answering them because obviously they're in her book, but it's funny how they move on to the next subject and how tacky the question would be otherwise. So let's check this out. It's awesome.
Playing Marcia, I always had this thing. People thought I was perfect.
How did you first get introduced to the world of cocaine?
Through a boyfriend.
Cocaine,
and there on the table was a huge amount of cocaine.
Whoa,
and
is it Tony
they
Montana?
Said, you know, do you want to try it? And I had no idea what
Barry
it was.
Williams.
And I took one toot, and I didn't feel anything. And they
a
said,
toot,
you know,
toot.
Why don't you take another one? I did, and pretty soon I felt so good. I became totally addicted to it for 5 years. It was awful.
The person that gave you the cocaine, is it somebody we would recognize? We would recognize the name?
Possibly.
Did you ever try to commit suicide or anything like that?
There was a time when I was out on my balcony.
Subject change.
And I was naked.
Listen to the next one.
I was, you know, ready to jump off the balcony.
Do you even remember that?
You know,
wait,
it's all
is
a
she
blur.
Jenny from Forrest
Before
Gump?
What age did you have a couple of abortions?
I was 18.
Jesus Christ!
And,
what age did you have an abortion?
Was this person? Barry Williams?
No.
You told us everything else. I mean, I figured.
Right.
How about with Eve Plum?
Marcia.
Wow.
That's just, wow, those guys are, that's, wow.
So that's what I want for my birthday, that book.
They didn't learn the art of subtlety from Barbara Walters, obviously.
I know. Now, Bill, Julie has a question for you, Bill.
How did you first get introduced to the world of cocaine?
The world of cocaine?
Well, actually, coincidentally, I was introduced to it at the World of Nintendo.
Oh, sorry, Steven. Man, you can't entertain that guy, can you?
Jeez. I went to Children's Palace and went to the World of Nintendo, and some kid offered me a little...
a toot?
a toot with whenever I picked up Gotcha. And from
nice.
There, it just it enveloped me for 10 years.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
You could write a book about it.
I lost my nose. It actually fell off.
You could write a book and then go on Mike and Juliet.
Yeah, I mean, because who wouldn't want to buy my book? Who the hell is going
to
buy her book?
Like that.
Yeah, I know.
Why not just call it I Was a Crack Whore?
I love how she says, did you ever think of committing suicide? And she says, there was this one time when I was on a balcony, and all the Juliet says is, like, God, that's bad.
Wow, that's so poignant.
Yeah. Ooh,
I'm telling you, I think she's just making it up.
I think so, too.
Because there was that scene in Forrest Gump where Jenny got all...
She was thinking of Forrest Gump, but she thinks it's
her.
Yeah,
and Free Bird was playing, and she was ready to go.
Well, you notice how she said, my boyfriend, and he goes, would we know who your boyfriend is
if
you
named his name?
And she goes, probably. He had a mountain of cocaine on his desk, and the first thing I picture is Al Pacino and Scarface. I think that she saw Scarface and was like, yeah, that guy, I wish he was my boyfriend.
She's totally made it all up.
I know. She's like, he's not alive anymore. He got shot in the back with a shotgun. And I was like, wait a second.
He tried to take down a whole army of Cubans.
He was in love with his sister, so it didn't really work out with us.
Yeah, that was really disturbing.
I know. What the hell is that? All right, so we got Top Model, which is a shitty show with insane Tyra Banks, and she decides to make them walk in clogs this week. So let's go ahead and check this out and just imagine what's happening
Wooden
with audio.
Clogs?
Yeah, like the big cloppy shoes, and they can't walk, and it's hilarious.
Let's bring our minds back to cycle 6. We had a judging test, and the Top Model has got to know how to work every single type of shoe in the world that there is. So I went out and found me.
I heard the Dutch were really offended at this episode. They like that. They can't walk. And they fall down.
Roll
and all
out the barrels.
And all the gays laugh when they fall down.
Oh, of course. The gays love that.
I don't know if Steven did, though. Now, there's this new show that it's called Stylista. Stylista. And I guess that's like a fashionista, but it's about style. Or what is the difference between a stylista and a fashionista, Bill? Please
I'm
tell me.
I'm not gay. You're asking.
I'm going to ask Tim Gunn that. I'm going to send him a letter, an email. Well,
he would gladly answer that.
Yeah, it's like...
get back like a 30-page essay.
Whatever you're about to say, I disagree with.
Now, I think a stylist is more into clothes and a fashionist is more into fashion.
Well, isn't...
Basically, I got nothing. So
it's going to explode like the girl on...
Now, here's the thing I don't like about these shows, honestly. We can all agree that if you're a gay male, you're into men, right?
Yeah.
But why do gay men who are into other guys know so much about women's the way they dressed? The women's. They're interested in that? I don't know. But they're always
I'm not
trashing.
Gay, I don't know.
They're always trashing these women on here. So, first of all, if you saw the girl that's getting berated about her appearance and her big old breasts, I don't think that we would have a problem with it. But this.
How can anybody berate a girl about big breasts?
I don't know. Maybe
it's a gift from God.
Let's go ahead and check this out.
Maybe she should
I
drink
think
some
a completely
coffee.
Inappropriate dress for work. I think this is an evening look. You know, your cleavage is busting out. It's in my face.
I'll sleep on the floor if I sleep on the
Oh, that's so offensive.
How are you describing me just now? No, How really.
Dad,
seriously,
your boobies look at me like that.
I don't want to sleep below someone that's describing me the way you just were. So can you get the out of my room? Thank you.
Wow.
Stop making fun of people. Stop picking on people because it just makes you look like an ass.
What is there?
You're
right
on a reality
to
show.
Snarky gay man.
There
I'm
needs
supposed
to be,
to.
You know, there just to be your punching bag in a way. Kate only has two punching bags, two large punching bags.
How's it going?
I just like I don't think I dress bad. Like that dress I had on today is like one of my favorite dresses.
Huh?
I'm sorry. What?
Yeah, I'm not as fond of that.
It's made me speechless.
That's so good.
I have no idea how many more days of this kind of torture, essentially, I can handle.
It's a reality show. You signed up for it. I just thought you should know that.
But I'm gonna try.
Oh, good.
Is it like a competition where the people wear their own clothes? Or do they make their own clothes?
I'm not sure. I just think it's like...
It's stupid.
They want to be models or something, and they let a gay guy just insult them. So it's actually a pretty interesting show.
A stereotypical gay guy.
Yeah.
When are they going to get a gay guy on that's just like, hey, everybody, did you watch the game?
I think it's very soigné.
I mean, all gay guys, I've known a lot of gay people in my life, and they all don't have an effeminate accent.
Yeah.
Or affectation.
So different than everyone else.
Yikes.
Come on, it's getting to be goddamn ridiculous.
You're telling me, man. Okay. Now, hey, Bill, before we talk about heroes, I got to mention Ghost Whisperer. I kind of mentioned it last week where her character... I watched the show and I still don't understand how she entered the video game.
Yeah, I noticed there was a scene where she's standing at the laptop and then she just appears in the game.
Like, what? How did you jack into the game?
Yeah, I think she went to Jamie Kennedy and got a port.
She's got a
extends.
She sticks her finger in a USB port and it just somehow.
That's
she gets
exactly
in.
It.
But anyway, there's some nerdy guy stuck in this, I think they call it a social networking video game.
So like Half-Life?
Did they even give it a name?
I mean, sorry, Second Life.
Second Half-Life. Oh, dude, I would not want to enter Half-Life.
Half-Life, full life consequences.
But, okay, what is the game called? Did they ever mention that? I can't remember.
I should have watched it again today. I could have looked at her boobs a little longer.
Yeah, basically, the only thing Ghost Whisperer has going for it, and you know that Jennifer Love Hewitt knows this, the producers know, because they always put her in outfits where she's showing cleavage. And
yeah, she's either in like something that's very low cut, or they just put her in lingerie sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes she's just lounging around on her bed, and you know a ghost will come talk to her. That way, she can be in her bedroom. You know, she's not.
Yeah, she's
in
oh, I'm sorry.
She's never doing laundry in the laundry room or anything. She's always laying around in a negligee, like oh, there's a ghost in here. You know,
she's never got like a sweatpants on.
Yeah, she's never like jogging. She's all sweaty in a heavy sweat suit, or you know, like. cleaning out the refrigerator.
Have
or something
they ever
like
interrupted her while she's taking a shower?
No. Oh well, no, maybe they have. I would say they have. I thought you were going to say taking a dump like or something. But
no. Well, that's...
This
that's
is not appropriate right now, Ghost. I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
I'm sorry. Can you just leave? I'm dropping a deuce here.
Whatever. Now, here in this scene, Melinda, her character's name is... She's dressed like she's Neo's niece or something, right? She's got a stupid mask on.
What's the eye thing?
I don't know.
It's not a mask. It's like a black rectangular strip of makeup.
And it's got like little, I don't know,
Chinese
pattern on it or something. Yeah. And just listen to the music as this goes on, but... She goes to talk to the stupid nerd, and the guy wants to fine her because he has powers in the game. Let's check it out.
You don't belong here either. Just tell me who you are.
No! You're ruining everything!
This wasn't real when you were alive, and it's not real now. But there has to be somebody in your real life that you want to talk to. I can help you.
Whoa!
All right, that's enough.
I don't think so.
Is that Metallica?
I don't know. Crap, what the
you
hell?
See a light, pal? Go for it.
No way.
Oh, wow, awesome.
Wow. So they were he's like a level 40 mage?
I guess There's a part where they're looking at the game and she's like, that video game character's staring at me, and they show the little digital guy like looking at her on the screen.
No, he's not staring at you. You just happen to be looking at him.
I think what it was is she had one of those low-cut outfits, so he was staring at her chest.
Well, shit, yeah.
Why not?
I love the outfit they put her in the video game.
I know, she was in two
there
outfits.
Was more times where she was like laying flat on her chest to like push him up and out than I could count.
Yeah, there's like the director's like, okay, I want you to lay on this pavement, and we're going to do a shot with you looking at the camera, and... We could just see your breast kind of resting on the cement.
Okay, this is the down blouse shot, everyone. Can we get the light on the set?
And everyone's like, oh, okay, well, I'm used to this, so I'm going to go have a cup of coffee or something. They're going to be shooting this from all sorts of angles. But, yeah, Ghost Whisperer, good show. Check it out. And it's got Jamie Kennedy this season.
Don't say that.
Jamie Kennedy's on the season, Bill. They got rid of Jay Moore.
Jay Moore, yeah, he now he has his own terrible show.
Jay Moore's like, hey, you're not the only one with a crappy show. I got one now too. Ha!
Yeah, you know, and Jamie, you know, it's funny. We were talking about Judge Reinhold on Easy Money and how his head has like exploded.
Yeah,
it's just he looks nothing like he used to.
It looks like his head exploded, and they try to put it back together.
Yeah, and now Jamie Kennedy looks the same way. If you look at him in Ghost Whisperer and then look at him in the first Scream, it's like same person.
He just looks like he's bloated a little. Judge Reinhold looks like his face was smashed in some kind of machine, and they tried to surgically repair it. Yeah, he looks like Mickey Rourke, kind of insanely weird.
Maybe he tried to have plastic surgery or something, but he does look bloated.
He looks odd. He looks like an alien trying to impersonate Judge Reinhold.
Honestly, I had no idea it was him in the first scene in the first episode of Easy Money when Morgan goes to the strip club.
Uh-huh.
I had no idea that was Judge Reinhold.
There's no one that looks worse. I know this is getting off subject here, but and I can't even remember the actress's name. Crap. From the movie Threesome. What's that actress name? She's kind of freckly.
Laura Flynn Boyle.
Laura Flynn Boyle looks nothing like Laura Flynn Boyle anymore. No. She looks
Do you remember her in The Temp with Timothy Hutton?
Yeah.
She was so hot in that movie.
And she had like cheek implants and stuff. She looks weird, dude.
Yeah,
weird.
Now she looks bizarre. She's up there with Joan Van Ark in the bizarre bad plastic surgery group.
She was on a Law & Order not too long ago, and when I realized it was Laura Flynn Boyle and I saw what she has done to herself, I kind of like almost threw up. I kind of was like...
Threw up in your mouth.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, that's so sick. But let's go ahead and talk about heroes because I need to feel better about myself. And there's nothing like talking about heroes to uplift everyone's self-esteem.
Absolutely.
I have no idea what that means, but still at the same time. Hey, Ando's not dead. See, what Tahiro did is he went back in time, got some blood packets, got a fake sword, went back, switched it out, and fake stabbed him, and everything's great.
Didn't you say that last week?
Yeah, I said obviously he's going to go back in time. And I think it's funny, you know, one thing that we criticize about the show is like, why doesn't he just go back and do this? But they keep, this week, they're reiterating for us that Hero says, I don't go back in time, it messes things up, so I swear I'll never do it again, but I do it this one more time. So, but it's only a few minutes, and they kind of did a funny gag there, even though I think that's stupid for them to say that, that's because he could easily fix the plot this season by doing that.
Yeah.
They have a scene where he's knocked unconscious by the black dude who calls Parkman Pac-Man. Let's just call him Clyde. And he goes, I'll go back in time just a minute and get the drop on the guy hitting me over the head. And so he goes back in time. For some reason, how come when he goes back in time?
Mr. Africa Isaac.
Yeah. Mr. Isaac, but you're black. He sees another drawing of him getting hit over the head. So the guy hits him over the head, and then he goes and hits the past Hero. And how did they not create a paradox there? Because Hero's in the same place at the same time. And
yeah, you're totally right. Doc Brown should be all over this show.
Didn't that confuse you for a second? Because Hero disappears and then Hero comes back and then... Well,
yeah, what about the scene where Ando's in the hut and he's walking towards him and then the one hero's there and then it disappears and the other hero comes walking through the hut. It's just like, what? Huh?
And if you start to think about the time loop that's happening there, then I think our heads would explode, much like Judge Reinhold.
Judge Reinhold, Billy,
poor bastard. You know my favorite Judge Reinhold was what was he on? I can't remember. Was it the Fox
Vice Versa?
Show? No, where he played Judge Reinhold. He had his own show called Judge Reinhold.
No.
Oh, what was that on?
Really?
Somebody help me in the chat room. What sitcom was that on? He played. He had a show called Judge Reinhold. He was a judge. Somebody will help me there. But anyway, we're talking about heroes right now.
Not at all.
And also, okay, how come Peter can't sit still for a second and calmly calculate anything? He's always running off.
He's just an asshole.
He
you
is.
Know what else bothers me is what the hell is with any time they go to this to level 5 and somebody's in a medically induced coma, they have a feeding tube in their nose.
Yeah.
That's it. What does that do? That the feeding tube induces the coma?
The only thing I can deduct, even though they don't tell us anything, is there's some kind of juice in there that's going into them that keeps them from having their powers. I don't know.
I you know, it's like the scene where Peter confronts Siler and they fight in the thing or whatever, and then Peter beats him up and goes, "I'm more special."
Where he's like, "You're weak."
Yeah, I'm the special
nothing compared to my power. It's like, whoa,
yeah,
shit.
It was very Anakin moment. And then all of a sudden, Peter then puts him back into a medically induced coma.
He's like, I'll just stick this nose.
I guess
thing
he was a nurse,
you.
So he would know how to do
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, you're
still,
right. He knows how to do that stuff.
Yeah, can you believe that? The first season, he's a guy trying to figure out his life, and he's a nurse.
And now he's just, but I guess.
Now he's asshole Peter. What happened to nurse Peter?
I know, and another thing is, if I found out Siler was my brother and he loved me and he wasn't going to kill me, I could probably be friends with him. Why does it have to be like, oh, you're a murderer. He's your brother. You got to forgive him, okay?
That was Clerks the cartoon where Judge Reinhold was the judge.
Oh, okay. Damn, I couldn't remember.
Just looked it up on IMDb.
Awesome.
I totally forgot about
that. I was thinking it was Arrested Development or something, but...
Well, maybe he was on there, too, but remember, I know it was Clerks the cartoon.
Scott Baio played Bob Blah Blah on the show. I love that name. Bob Blah Blah. Bob Blah Blah. Blah. But anyway, but I digress, Bill.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're getting off Hero's course.
I hate,
so Hero
I
and
hate, I detest any scene in the show with Adrian Pasdar and Ali Larder.
Yeah, I am so sick and tired of Ali Larder and poor Adrian Pasdar. I mean, the guy is, I mean, he's not a bad actor. He just gets saddled with the worst dialogue.
Nathan Petrelli, they have nothing for him to do. Cut him out of the show if you got nothing
exactly.
for him to do.
Kill him off like he was supposed to be.
Just like Parkman. You know, there was this article that you and I, did you read that article? The one
from Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah, where Jeff Jensen wrote about 5 things you could do to fix heroes. And it's pretty much everything that we've talked about before was, first of all, get them out of those same locations. It's almost like Smallville. You always got to have Mohinder's dad's apartment. You always got to have Isaac's loft. You always got to have the...
Well, they haven't used Mohinder's dad's apartment in a while. Now they just use Isaac's loft.
They used it on that that episode where they went in the future. Remember, Parkman was living there.
Right.
He was raising a baby in that drab little apartment.
Yes.
That I don't think she raised a baby in a damp apartment, okay?
No.
It's going to give him breathing problems. But also...
give that baby asthma.
I couldn't say it better when they say, take the stupid out of the show. People doing stupid things. No. Another thing is... you know, less characters. Stop introducing so many, because obviously you don't have enough story to fill all of them in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to say this episode was probably the best one so far of the season.
Yeah, but it's still a mess.
The Mohinder stuff I thought was funny. They go there. I keep wanting to call her Nikki, but it's Tracy and Nathan go to visit Mohinder. He's a good guy. Yeah, he's harmless. And he, sorry, my friend, but I need you, or whatever. I love when...
one person that needs to die. Can they kill Mohinder, please? Because every season that he's been in the show, he screws something up majorly.
Yes.
He starts working with the wrong people. This time, he becomes evil. I'm sure in an episode soon to be seen, he'll be working with Pinehurst.
Yeah.
It's just... ugh. Pinehurst. Just kill him.
And now we also have the fast girl, the speedster girl.
Daphne.
Yeah, Daphne, she's not sure she should be working for Pinehurst.
Yeah, she's very indecisive.
Doubts. Yeah, she's having doubts, but when Parkman sees her, he's like, I'm destined to love you and have your baby. Oh,
yeah, that was a good line, though, that she went, this is getting kind of stalky.
Yeah.
that I actually like that.
It's like, dude, you're coming on a little strong. First of all, you're 30 years older than me. Now,
you have this beautiful baby named Daniela and this pet turtle.
Yeah, I
what?
This pet turtle.
I guess spirit guide.
Turtles
right.
do have long lifespans, don't they?
They do have very long lifespans.
Now, another thing you know that episode where they went in the future and Siler's like a nice guy and has a kid? How many years in the future was that?
I have no idea.
It had to have been old enough for Siler to meet someone, fall in love, get her pregnant, then raise the child up to where he's like 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah,
right?
Let's say 10 years into the future.
Or maybe he abducted the kid. I don't know. But
and raised him as his own.
Yeah, I don't remember much about the episode, honestly. I remember, the puppet master guy. I remember that part.
Good Lord. I love the shot. It's just so ham-handed that they're in the mom and the Claire are in the car, and they do this crane shot moving down to the car where you can see on the building what was it, Doyle's Marionette Theater. And it's like, what?
It makes no sense to me that they would not call Noah HRG at that point. They know that her mom, her blood mom, is in there. They know this guy is really bad. No, don't call him. I'm going to go by myself.
They have the file that says he's a puppet master. Be careful.
Just like, okay, Claire, fine. We'll do it your way. No, I don't think so. She's a child. Call your friggin' husband. You know, it made no sense to me at all. That kind of shit drives me crazy on the show. Oh, sorry, I'm losing it. But when people act stupid on the show, it drives me frigging insane.
How are you supposed to enjoy something when people are just being stupid?
I know.
There's no tension.
Where did
in
you
the show
get that taser, Claire?
Like that.
I like that. Where'd you get that taser, Claire? Oh, from Dad's closet. Oh, okay. Thanks.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, writers. Well, thanks for giving her that.
Yeah.
That thing
that
only
taser's
has one
really
going
to help whenever you point it at a guy that can control your movement.
Oh, shit. And then he, they do the deer hunter scene, the Russian roulette, and she gets shot, and that's all that stuff. So,
well, the mom, like, it's so funny how she makes the decision that, okay, one shot isn't enough. Let's just pump it until the bullet comes out.
Yeah. That was cool.
That was convenient.
Now, basically... Peter figures out that his mom's in a coma caused by some bad guy at Pinehurst. Him and
Because he sees the Pinehurst logo.
Yeah, him and Siler, you know, first Daphne comes to visit Siler, and he gives her the card, and then she leaves, and then Peter's like, hey, I recognize this symbol. He's like, I see it too, on this card this fast girl gave me. He's like, oh, okay, let's go there, but first let's get into a fight. And, you know,
let's have an unnecessary fight that is comically bad with the CGI.
Yeah, they just can't do action
flying,
on the show.
Flying down the hallway.
Oh, that was so awesome. That was so awesomely bad.
And then they do the Sith lightning and
oh man, I love that. Oh, Steven didn't though.
Yeah, exactly, Steven.
Now let's check out this scene where Peter sees his dad, played by Robert Forster, who I think is a good actor, but he decided not to act in this scene. Let's check it out.
We failed to mention that Robert Forster killed Adam Monroe.
Oh yeah, I did like that scene because it went all.
That was good.
It went all Indiana Jones, or it was like. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. I would have much rather seen him melt as opposed to turn into dust. But hey.
Yeah, but that was some awesome computer effects there. It didn't look real at all, but it was cool computer effects. I can appreciate that.
It was comic booky. It was appropriate for.
I totally like it, and I like that character's dead because that actor, I think, is a horrible actor. But let's go ahead.
Why does he have to have an English accent and everything? He's not English.
Yeah, and just talk normal, dude. All right, but anyway, let's check the scene out where he meets his dad, Robert Forster, from Alligator. I love that movie.
That's what they call you, isn't it? Criminals. Villains.
That scene was hilarious.
He's my son.
Dad?
Peter.
How is this possible? You're dead.
No, I'm not.
Obviously, I'm not, douchebag.
Peter, I dropped you one too many times when you were a baby.
You hurt Mom?
Come give your father a hug.
Oh, sure, yeah. I'll go give you a hug.
I'm going to hug my dead father.
Who put my mom in a coma. Why not?
Yeah, I've missed you, Dad.
Should be a warm embrace here.
I'm sorry I had to come to this.
Huh?
What's that?
That's one tight hug.
Bear hug!
You don't have your powers anymore, Peter. Because I have them now.
Oh my God. But he
Thanks
did.
Thanks for explaining that.
He fixed his disc problem, though, when he gave
him
that hug.
Yeah, he did.
So that's
well, you know, you needed that good back crack.
Oh, thanks. I feel great. Oh.
Separate and release.
Did you like when he sucked his soul out of him?
Oh, yeah, that was a great effect. That kind of the.
I love Peter's scream, though. It sounds so painful.
We've heard that scream many a time.
Oh, he really sold that. Acting! He's in pain!
He learned that from Sylvester Stallone.
I always think of that because...
When I was in Copland, I had to do... You know,
Rocky Balboa is on all the time on Showtime, Bill, and Peter Petrelli plays his son, and they both have that same mouth. Have you noticed that?
Yes, they do. They kind of talk out of the sides of their mouth.
Yeah, and I have no problem with that actor. They just write him stupid. And I was almost like, dude, you don't need... Good, you just saved the world, Robert Forster, because you've... This dangerous person, Peter Petrelli, has no powers anymore. Thank you. So he's
a
good guy.
Oh, shit, you know what I just thought of?
What?
Now that his powers are all gone, the hunger's gone.
Oh, yeah, they got rid of that.
The Siler hunger. So when he gets his... However he gets these powers back, will he get the hunger back too, or will he be good Peter again?
I don't know. And are they really turning Siler into a good guy, or are they just waiting to turn into a bad guy? I don't know.
I think they're... you know what? I have a proposition. Let's go put together a lynch mob and get Tim Kring and just hang him.
Hang him? Kill him?
Yeah, kill him, because it's the only way that's going to fix this show. Hang him, and then bring on somebody that actually knows
how
to handle comics.
How about him just take a step back, yeah.
I know Joss Whedon is busy with Dollhouse and everything, but why not, you know, find somebody that he would approve of?
Hey, get that Tim Minear guy.
Perfect. Get Tim Minear and bring him on as the showrunner.
Please, somebody, because I think it's a cool premise, and I want a show like this on television.
Could you imagine, you know how in comics they choose a writer and that writer handles a story arc for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Why not go to the comic industry and get somebody like, let's say, Warren Ellis and say, okay, hey, you want to handle this arc of the story? Do what you want. You know, come up with the idea, sit down with our writers, work it out. You know, give a comic, give a true established comic writer a chance for each season with the show or each, you know, chapter or volume. That way you can, I mean, really get deep into it.
Right. And you know what? I'm really sick of the storyline of someone having an incredible power and they're like, just take this power away from me. I don't want this.
Yeah. Stop it with the power shit already. We know, okay, it's heroes, they have power.
You know what I'd like to see Tracy's character, since Ali Larder's character has nothing to do, have her be like, awesome, I have cold powers, and show her use that. You know, it may be stupid, but show her how she goes into the Arctic and there's no more global warming. She uses her body to do that, okay? Well, something like that.
You know what? If she wants to get away from people, she could live in the Arctic because she has this cold power.
Yeah.
The cold doesn't affect her. You know, show like
she could be like
things.
The governor of Alaska or something.
She could live in Wasilla.
Yeah. I'd totally love
that. She could be a hockey mom.
Oh, you betcha. All right.
Well, you betcha, don't you know? I know something about something.
All right. Let's take a break, Bill. We're a little late on the break time, but hey, it's always good to urinate, right?
Totally. And I've got to drain the main vein.
And I've got to talk about Fringe. So we'll be right back, everyone.
All right.
Check you soon. The password is Bagman.
Started out as a party, but turned into a case of the missing case.
Groovy shindig.
Incredible feat.
Thank you.
Hey, who turned out the lights?
Oh, Ricky.
It's okay, doll.
No, it's not. There's a case of Miller Lite missing.
Oh. Who took it?
It had to be somebody in this room.
Rodney!
Hey, guys, take it easy, will you?
Why'd you do it, Rodney? Because light tastes great?
Yeah!
Because light's less filling.
Yeah!
I tell you, I didn't do it. Well, I'm not even Rodney.
You! I thought it was a costume party. Great mask, huh?
It's no mystery that there's only one light beer, Miller Lite.
But if he didn't do it, who did?
Introducing Casey, the tape player with personality.
He rings the bank, he talks to you.
Hi, my name is Casey.
Casey is amazing, the things he can do.
Casey tells stories and jokes. Ew. Don't you know, Casey?
What do you get when you mix two ducks with one cow? Quarters and milk.
Casey, you're amazing.
Casey, please, your tape too. Batteries not included.
Santa Claus will be here real soon.
Casey, you're amazing.
Casey comes with activity book and cassette from Play School. Other cassettes sold separately.
Scared Silly, starring Ronald McDonald and the Chicken McNuggets.
Ronald, nice to see you in this neck of the woods. Come on.
What are you making?
We're stirring up secret sauces. For dipping.
We're ready, boss.
Let's make sauce.
Oh, well, at least I got my hair done.
I have an idea. Whoop-de-doo, McDonald's sauces.
You can always count on them to be terrific.
It's a good time for the great taste of McDonald's.
Members only may do this promise. When you put it on, something happens. Now there's a members only fragrance for men. Members only aftershave and cologne. The stylish fragrance. When you put it on, something happens. Members only.
With every members only purchase of $17.50, you get this handy travel ensemble. A free gift to you from Hess's.
Crunch!
Ah! We're after a peanut butter crunch!
Ah! Horrifying, isn't it? One taste of my peanut butter crunch, and you'll always come back for more. It's the only peanut butter cereal, and it's part of a balanced breakfast. It's to die for. It's the crunch that screams peanut butter.
Peanut fudge giggles cookies. The face is not really,
amusing.
Yeah, amusing. And the two kinds of cream, peanut butter and fudge, are really...
Excellent.
But those giggles commercials, when kids are laughing, slapping tables, it just doesn't happen.
New peanut butter and fudge giggles cookies. Two kinds of cream in each funny face.
It doesn't happen.
It happens.
Nabisco.
Hard-nosed Mrs. Hatcher. Talk as you can get.
Today we'll be reading chapters 3, 4.
You can never win her over.
Let's do this. I'll be the
Mrs. Hatcher had no pet. Forget the excuses. There's no way to reach her.
Then we'll move through out the bus window.
I didn't do it. Our only break was a substitute teacher.
Mrs. Hatcher's absence, there will be no pet.
When things got rough, I'll never get it. She made us stick to it.
She pushed.
My darling.
I knew you could do it.
This is a steel steam fries and cooker from your third grade class.
Our young Mrs. Hatcher.
The adult world is designed to keep us moving. And while this may make us more efficient, it's not exactly a party. Luckily, technology has produced a cure. It's called a Game Boy, the personal game-playing system from Nintendo, with lots of sports, action, and puzzle games to choose from. And it comes with a puzzle game Tetris. It could change your outlook.
I'm sorry, sir. Your flight's been delayed.
Cool.
Game Boy by Nintendo. Have you had your fun today?
Keebler presents the appealing taste of baked potato skins in a crunchy chip.
Potato skins got baked potato appeal, because they're made with potatoes and skins that are real.
The Keebler elves make potato skin snack chips with real potatoes and skins.
Cheddar cheese and bacon, sour cream and chives, tasty baked potatoes.
And they finally got barbecue flavor, too.
They're made with potatoes and skins that are real. Potato skins, Keebler, baked potato appeal.
The Fright Zone!
You put it together, Fright Zone. E-Man, Hordak, and Men and Artist Fingers each sold separately.
So nice of you two. Stop in for lunch.
The Fright Zone!
Fright?
The Fright Zone! The Fright Zone!
Your overgrown lizard doesn't scare me, Hordak.
Oh, no!
The Fright Zone! The Fright Zone playset, you from the Evil Horde and Masters of the Universe collection. Action figures each sold separately from Mattel.
As Halloween approaches, you have to prepare yourself for what might happen.
More orange sprinkles.
It's a special time of year, and Dunkin' Donuts is dressing up their donuts for the occasion.
And here's the werewolf.
So come to Dunkin' Donuts and get into the spirit of Halloween.
We'd like some Halloween donuts, please.
Oh, of course.
Why does time pass so damn fast?
I know.
Poor Peter.
That was 6.5 minutes, too.
Old dude.
All right. Fringe. The Fringe, as I like to call it.
It warms your ass.
If a show has the on the front of it, I don't like to say it. So instead of The Mentalist, no. It's Mentalist.
Yes.
Fringe is The Fringe. You got to throw a the on there.
That actually sounds better.
What is with the bloodiness on this show, man? What
I know, man. 2 weeks in a row. It's just
disturbing
gruesome.
Ass intro, man. With the this chick is in a diner and
she gets dumped off on the side of the road like the chick at the beginning of JFK.
What's even more disturbing is there's somebody doing experiments on people and they don't care how many people die in their experiment. You know. And they release this lady into a diner just to see what will happen when they set off this. Basically, she turns into a microwave oven, basically, and bakes everyone in the diner. Isn't that essentially what happens? There's blood coming out of their eyes. They're all going, and their brains melt and stuff.
Yeah, their eyes turn red, and they're, and They're like brains fry, and her, then her head explodes.
Oh,
like
I know.
Scanners.
She's up against the window and goes.
That was shocking for me. I went, oh my god, when I watched it.
It's like holy shit.
It's like I looked at my dad and said, how are they getting away with this stuff?
I know, and I love the main director guy. He's explaining what happened. You know, we think radiation levels killed everyone's side. And doctor, do you have any input? And he's like, could I have one of those hazmat uniforms?
Yeah. Can I get me one of those white suits?
Yeah, he wants to wear one of those suits. He doesn't want any radiation. But there's it's weird stuff going on that they figure out that this lady has some kind of strange disease. And
it's some uncurable disease.
And she started getting better, and they're like, huh? And it turns out there's another lady who had the same disease she did, and she's been abducted. She's missing, too. And it turns out they knew each other.
Yes, they were both taking, like, some kind of time-release strontium-90 radiation caplets.
Right. And the doctor, here's a good scene where he explains basically how they turn her into a weapon. And it starts out with a funny scene where he says, do you smell that? And the girl Astrid thinks he's talking about something else. It's hilarious.
Asterix.
You smell that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And next time, how about a little warning?
Huh? Oh, not that. Methyl eugenol. A chemical responsible for giving hyacinths their aroma.
But what about it?
I have been trying to determine what caused the radioactive capsules in Emily Kramer's bloodstream to burst at once. This is it, Asterisk.
Astrid. Her name is Astrid.
Asterisk. Peter, methyl eugenol is the key. That's what they injected her with. That's why these women were chosen. By itself, harmless. But given their treatments...
causing all the capsules to burst at once. They made her radioactive. It turned her into a weapon.
I love the part also with the papaya.
Yeah, where it explodes and then he's eating it.
Yeah, and he's like, it's a happy fruit. Or something like that.
It's the happiest fruit.
And another thing, Bill, is I saw The Observer again. He was in the
I know,
episode.
You say that, and I'm just like, you know what? I wasn't even paying attention.
I'm consciously
looking
look
for
him.
The Observer.
And I was so... There's an establishing shot. It was like a tilt up towards the ceiling view down of a bar area where it's like a dinner, like people are schmoozing. And okay. Olivia's there to talk to this bigwig who runs this pharmaceutical company that you know is a crooked guy, right?
Oh, so it was that scene. Okay.
Yeah, way
well,
to
yeah,
the
you
left.
Know he's bad because he has a goatee.
Right.
Bad guys always have goatees.
I noticed a bald head down the corner, and I was like, I wonder if that was the Observer, but I'm not going to go and rewind and look. That'd be ridiculous. But I wonder if that's him. It's almost like a Where's Waldo shot. Then while they're talking, you see it's in a blurry background. You see him walk by. And I was like, oh, that was the Observer. Oh, sweet. And I guarantee you, I'm going to go ahead and re-watch the first two episodes because I bet he's there. He's got to be. Hell, he's probably got an entry on Wikipedia by now. I could just look there.
I'm sure he does. I bet you $1 million there's a list of the appearances of the Observer by now on Wikipedia.
And you know what? It may be gimmicky or whatever. I love it. I get excited when I see him. I'm like, ooh, there he is. Sweet. I want the Observer on every TV show. What do you think? How cool would that be?
On The Mentalist.
See him walk by on Entourage.
Smallville.
Yeah. See him kill everyone in Smallville. But anyway, why don't they change the name to Metropolis on the show now? I think they should. But anyway, back to Fringe. You know, Olivia tells this weird story. You know, she's really cranky because it's her birthday. And that is her character's name, by the way, right?
Yes, Olivia.
She talks about her birthday is always... It's kind of ruined because her mom was with this abusive husband. I guess it was her stepdad, right? He used to beat the crap out of her mom, but her mom would do nothing about it. She would put up with it, and she would just see her mom get beat up. And one day, he gave her mom a good beating, and he left. And then she saw his car turn around, and he was coming back. So she went and got his gun, and when he came through the door, she shot him multiple times. But it didn't kill him. And she's always regretted that day that she didn't just kill that guy. Well... Every year of her birthday, she receives a birthday card from this guy, almost kind of an F you that, hey, I'm still alive, you didn't kill me kind of a thing. And they even show at one point she checks the mail and it's not there and she feels relieved. And even Peter's like, you didn't get that card, did you? She's like, no, I didn't. So everything's happy. Then she goes home. How creepy was that? It was slid under her door, meaning the guy knows where she lives.
Yeah.
I like that storyline idea. I mean, because it's creepy. Anything that creeps me out, I'm into. You know, like that. It's like, ooh, that's creepy.
But, yeah, and just before that, she was thinking that she didn't get the card this year, so maybe he was dead. And she gets home and, oh, there's the card.
Yeah. And there's a real disturbing scene where that lab company or that pharmaceutical, they're doing that same experiment on a new lady who's been abducted, and they slip a shaved rat into her room.
Yes.
And it crawls up on the bed with her. And
under the blanket.
The radiation she's giving off shows that under the white sheet it goes and explodes, yes. And blood appears. And I was like, dude, I'm glad I wasn't eating dinner during this show.
Yeah, it's pretty graphic.
And I love that. You know, I watch it late at night. If I would have, it's like House. One time I made the mistake of watching House while eating dinner. And it was about this dude who was deformed and they were giving him surgery to make him look normal. I was like, dude, I can't watch this show. I can't. But Fringe is a good show. I really love it. And at the end of the show, it said, next week, an encore episode. And then after that...
Aw, boo!
And then it says, 3 weeks after that, a new episode!
So it's going into the winter break or fall break or something?
I think it's because Fox has the World Series. They're just like, screw it, we'll be back when the World Series is
over. You know what's so funny is, I'm so out of touch with most sports. I only follow football, and sometimes hockey, when the Pens are doing good. But... I had no idea that the World Series was even coming up. I just so don't care about
it. Kind of just sneaks up.
I played it when I was a kid. Don't care now.
Yeah, I'm so not interested either. But Smallville, Bill. This was.
By the way, speaking of Fox, what the fuck happened? What happened to Kitchen Nightmares?
I don't know. It's gone. I don't know what happened.
I was out looking through my DVR this week, and I was like, "Where's?" It's been like 3 weeks. The last episode we saw was the Black Pearl.
I know. It's gone. I don't. Maybe it'll be back in 4 weeks too. I don't know. But hey, at least while we're gone off the show, we won't have to talk about it, right? Yeah, we won't have a bunch of shows stacked up. But we will have multiple Smallvilles to talk about, maybe. Now, Davis, the character of Sam Witwer, this is kind of a Sam Witwer centric episode.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny, he shows up everybody on the show with his he actually has acting chops.
He really does.
Nobody else on the show does.
There was a scene.
And it's just so out of place.
There's a scene where he tells Chloe that he thinks. You know, basically there's these killings going on, and they think it's some kind of meteor freak doing it, of course. Of course, I probably would deduct that, too, from the show, since they never have other ideas than that.
Yeah, exactly.
But he tells Chloe, I think I might be the killer. And I genuinely felt for the guy, and I was like, holy shit, yeah. I'm actually moved by someone's performance on Smallville? Huh?
Yeah, it's really out of place.
It's like
it is. I think the kid is terrific. He's a very good actor. Loved him as, Starkiller, Galen Merrick, Force Unleashed, but...
I loved him in...
This is just...
He was great in BSG, Dexter.
Yeah.
You know, there's a scene where he has a scene with Jimmy Olsen, that actor, Aaron Ashmore, right? And
yes. It was also terrible.
It's almost just pathetic how... He's inhabiting a character, and Aaron Ashmore is just kind of trying to act, or obviously acting. One guy seems natural, the other guy seems totally out of his element in that scene. And the character of Davis, that Sam Witwer is playing, almost seems kind of creepy in the scene, where he's like, are you sure you want to ride with me? And he's like, yeah, I'm Jimmy Olsen, I'm an actor, ooh, you know, or it just doesn't, you know, it's just, yeah. Maybe he'll make the show better. I think that he... I like his character. He's definitely whatever. The show's got nothing.
Your wife just popped into the chat room and said, happy birthday to the J-Strom.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Heather. My birthday's Sunday, so don't forget, everybody.
Yeah.
You got to remember that. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Oh, hey, it's Simon Pegg.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
I really wanted Whoopi to sing happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You know, speaking of Simon Pegg, I finally got around to watching the Spaced U.S. release.
Oh, yeah.
And I was listening to the commentaries where, like, they have different people on. And I think Kevin Smith is on the first three episodes of season one. And I wanted to freaking strangle him because he won't shut up and doing his shtick to the point where they don't even talk about the show. They just go on and on about the dumbest things because it was driving me crazy. It's one of the worst commentary tracks ever.
Is he like nervous and doesn't know what to talk about?
No, he just hijacks the entire thing and just does his shtick like it's an evening with Kevin Smith.
Oh,
all of
you.
A sudden,
I thought they were going to talk about how much they love the show.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought too. The only one that really did was Patton Oswalt. Because even the Matt Stone one, all he's obsessed with is drugs. You know, it's the ecstasy episode where they go to the club and all that. And he's like, how did you guys get away with this back then? It's like you address it, but you don't address it. It turns into like this whole political discussion on how to portray drugs on TV. It's absolutely nothing about the show. They don't talk about the show at all. It's really disappointing. The best one was Patton Oswalt because he's a true fan of the show. But I digress. Sorry.
Right.
Just really bad commentary tracks. Well, they never should have included them.
You know, a lot of times I find most of the time, 98% TV commentaries of a TV show that you love are really bad. They're not as cool as you think they would be with, like, the actor who's in the show. Because a lot of times it's been there, done that, and they're not even that interested in being there. I'm going to actually say that the Firefly box set, I know, nerd alert, right? But there's one with Nathan Fillion and... the actor that plays Wash that I found very entertaining, but most of the time they're not very entertaining. Like the Alias ones I thought were worthless most of the time. Well, what's your take on that, Bill?
Yeah, there's a lot of commentaries that I prefer. I guess I'm kind of a stickler for like the technical commentary or the commentary that goes back and discusses to that time period of the show. And I just don't like the ones that go on and on about stuff that doesn't pertain to it.
Right. They're just kind of chatting. They're doing a podcast, yeah, basically.
Yeah, exactly. I don't enjoy that. I want to hear about what I'm watching.
Right.
I don't want to hear about your little anecdotes. You know, it's funny because we've always talked about the Gremlins one where Joe Dante shoots down
Zach Galligan,
like he's like should tell this story and then he goes, "No, you shouldn't."
Yeah, he starts talking, and he goes, nobody wants to hear this story. And it's just
yeah, exactly.
Like,
it sounds kind of off, but it's not because he's putting him back on track.
Right. It's like, dude,
and that's,
don't
that's
digress
that's what I appreciate about that. I don't want to, you know, it's my little thing. I was just really disappointed in the celebrity.
There was a little too, it wasn't talking about what was on screen. And that's what the whole, and you know, Ronald D. Moore for Battlestar Galactica, he does the best one because he's talking about everything that went into that episode. He's actually giving you a lot of information. Unfortunately, the audio
sucks. The other commentary track was Diablo Cody. Terrible.
How was that?
Oh, so bad.
How was that one, Home Skillet?
Yeah, it was filled with that stuff. And it's so funny because all they do is gush over her. Like, oh, you know, and it's just like Simon, Jess, and Edgar, like, what are you doing? It's Diablo Cody.
So I'm just going to watch the episodes themselves. How's that?
There you go.
All right, so Smallville, we didn't really talk much about it, except there's some kind of wraith-type shadow creature attacking
everyone.
Yeah,
you know what was bad about it is that the entire episode kind of set it up like, oh, no, Sam Witwer's Doomsday is kind of coming out, and
he can't control himself. He blacks out and kills people.
Yeah, Clark gets obsessed with...
he makes a list
out
of meteor freaks and turns it in.
And he's, like, obsessed with trying to figure out... And John Jones, the Martian Manhunter, is now a detective for the Metropolis PD. Amazingly, out of nowhere.
He's like,
how did that happen?
I've become a detective, Clark, since I don't have my powers. And I love how he's like, I'm sorry, I'm still trying to find a way to get your powers back. How? How are you going to get his powers back? Shut the hell up.
He went to the academy and just went through everything.
He's awesome. He's super cop.
Yeah, it's it was really terrible. And finally, they're like, "Oh no, it wasn't. It wasn't Davis."
I'm going to say right now, I would say I want a spinoff with Doomsday as a character, but it would have the same writers as Smallville, so it wouldn't be any good. Let's go ahead.
I really thought that it would get better this season because they dropped the other showrunners that had handled it until this far. But it's really just become piss poor.
Well, you know what? I thought this episode was better than the other episodes. There was no stick fight or anything.
But still, it danced. It was one of those episodes where it tries to throw out a red herring, and then it's like, oh wait, it's not this one. It's this one. It tries to be too mysterious for its own good.
You know what the dumbest sequence in the whole show was? The beginning when Clark is listening to a police scanner.
Oh God! Yeah.
And there's one where it's like, no, we got crime in progress, crime in progress. And he's like, and there's
he starts running all over the city.
Yeah, there's a little kid.
Montage.
These kids are like, give us your lunch money. He's like, I don't have any. I was like,
yeah,
wait
that
a second.
Was on the police scanner.
Someone called 911 and said, hey, there's these bullies picking on this kid outside, and Clark's like, oh hell, I gotta intercept this. I was like, what? They'd hang up on you, okay?
It was bad. It was particularly bad.
I was like, okay, this episode, not so bad compared to the rest of the season. And then this scene happens where the guy who is the smoke shadow creature is in kryptonite handcuffs, and one of Tess Mercer's workers comes in there.
Flunkies.
First of all, why did they hire two people who have never acted before in their lives?
Well, you know what? They had, I don't know, maybe, Canada is just filled with such budding talent, or they know somebody on the crew.
Just let's watch this scene. Let's listen to the scene where the killer guy's in handcuffs, and she pretty much plays mind games with him. She pretty much tells him that she knows that he didn't really kill all these people, and he's not a big serial killer like he wants to be. She really gets a drop on him, doesn't she, Bill?
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, I don't even know who these characters are, so what kind of weight is this scene supposed to have?
One's a flunky and one's the wraith creature guy.
Yeah, let's check it out.
You look a little uncomfortable.
You're not a lawyer.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Wow. Good dialogue.
Congratulations on your page one.
It's nice to have your work recognized. After so many years being the good little boy in the shadows.
No one talks like that.
You have more admirers than you think.
No one talks like that either.
My boss, Ms. Mercer, has been gathering a small group of talent, if you're game.
No, she's
on my list of accomplishments.
Monotone?
I'm not really interested in sharing top billing.
Cut the bravado. You didn't commit all those murders.
No one talks like that.
Oh my God, it's like right out of a porno.
Looking for attention. Cops haven't found this yet, but we have security footage of you at an arcade during one of the crimes.
Sweet! What arcade was it?
It's a crime I'm sure you've studied.
Metropolis Arcade.
Did they have bump and jump?
He was playing Street Fighter 4.
You remember the nun at St. Vincent?
Sweet!
Crushed to death.
At Dave and Busta's, we have your alibi.
That was me.
God.
Really? Then I suppose you can tell me where her missing onyx crucifix is.
Say what?
The one on the rosary.
Who?
No one talks like that.
You didn't kill her.
Yes, I did. You call me a liar?
You didn't kill her.
And cut to Davis in his car, and he hung the rosary on his rearview mirror.
Yeah.
And they do a dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, like, holy shit! Oh my God!
You know, your cleavage is busting out. It's in my face.
The guy is a meteor freak, correct?
Who? Oh, yeah,
the wraith
guy.
Creature who's there in the, claiming.
Which
all
is a really cool power, by the way. Better than vortexes.
He's in kryptonite handcuffs.
Yeah, I don't get it. I thought Clark had a weakness to kryptonite. It gives them powers.
Wouldn't kryptonite actually make him stronger?
Yeah, I didn't get that either. It didn't make any sense.
I don't think they're trying it.
They should have had him on a bed with a thing stuffed up his nose, and he'd be like, oh, wait, that's some kind of juicy.
Yeah, he's in a medically induced coma.
Yeah, they should have done that. Totally awesome. Okay.
They should have rebuilt 33.1 and put him in there.
Seriously. I mean, wow. I miss Lex. and Green. You know,
honestly, yeah, I can't believe I'm going to say I actually miss Green Hornet.
Green Arrow.
Or, I'm sorry, Green Arrow. Green Hornet.
That would be awesome, though. You know what? Seriously, though, Bill, this whole show suffers whenever Green Arrow's not on it. I think he's the most entertaining guy on the show. And I'm not joking at all.
And I'm not kidding either. Honestly, I think you're right.
He's funny. He has horrible dialogue, but he does a good job of delivering it.
And he's honestly gotten so much better from that first episode where, you know, the line that we love, that I thought I told you, only to use violence. I mean,
that was his first episode.
I mean, he's gotten so much better. It's like he went to the acting school.
I thought I made myself clear. You were only to use violence if you were in danger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good line delivery. Take two, please.
Well, we couldn't have that now, could we?
No, no second takes on this show.
And I do you bowl?
Steven's going to kill me when he hears the show.
No, he won't.
Yeah, what did you bowl do? Lou, you...
Hopefully he won't listen. We'll never mention it again.
He never listens. I don't think he's listened to a single episode.
Yeah.
I'm sorry it had to come to this.
Oh, my God.
It's okay.
He's giving me a big bear hug. Now, Bill, let's talk about Friday Night Lights, because we're doing a late show somehow. I don't know how this always happens.
Yeah, well, what else is new?
I'm going to say this was the best episode of the season so far.
Very dramatic, very poignant. It really has set up a lot of things. We lost one character with this episode.
It had several scenes that gave me goosebumps.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Very well done. Very well written.
It has to start off with kind of a comedic scene where they're all at the rodeo, because after that, it's all heart-wrenching drama.
Yeah, it's like how some people, whenever they give a speech, they always start out with a joke to loosen up the audience.
Yeah, that's what the show did.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and check it out. You got Riggins, Lila, you got Tyra, you got Landry, you got Riggins' brother, whose name I can't remember.
Billy.
And Mindy. Good old Mindy. And they're there watching this very dreamy bull rider named
Have
Cash.
You noticed how bad that Mindy girl's skin is?
She's not attractive, man.
Really bad skin. There's times where they do a close up on her and it's like, oh my.
She looks like she's, you know, she's been through
the
ringer.
She belongs at that shitty strip bar.
Yeah. And you know another thing that's funny about shows that take place in Texas? You know, I was born in Texas. I live in Texas. And when I see a clip of people at a rodeo, I'm just like, come on, man. We don't go to rodeos. But I guess people do. We have the stock show here.
Well, I mean, come on. West Texas, yeah, Midland, that area.
They probably do there. But at least everybody on the show doesn't talk like this, man. You know?
No, yeah, thank God for that.
Let's go ahead and check out the scene and laugh, okay?
Yeah.
That's an angry
voice
right there.
Who wanted the cotton candy?
I'll have some.
Thank you.
I'll have some.
You want it?
Sure, fine.
Aren't you going to have any?
No, I'm not having any.
Why?
I was going to get y'all some. I'm having my wisdom teeth taken out tomorrow. I'm not trying to gum up some fun. I'm having a major surgery and you're laughing. You're just going to laugh in my face.
They're giving you laughing gas.
I don't think laughing gas is a laughing matter.
I'm sorry. Talk about you over afterwards and nurse you back to health. We'll watch a movie or
you
something.
Guys focus for 2 seconds. Cash is up next. All he needs is an 80 to
hit. Okay, come on.
That is my fine-ass cowboy.
Really?
No, that's...
That Cash is dreamy, Bill.
Yeah, that was a little much.
Now,
like he gets up, dusts off his hat, puts it on, makes eye contact with Yeehaw.
I love the scene where after Landry's had wisdom teeth taken out, and he's all drugged up, and he's like calling Tyra and stuff, and his mom's like, "Give me the phone, give me the phone. You're gonna thank me for it later." Because he's like,
"I know we're just friends, but I love you."
She's like, "Give me the phone." I love Landry. I love that stuff.
Yeah, Landry is just great.
Do you remember in season two when after they wrapped up the murder storyline, he got off the hook, and I said they will never bring it up again. Seriously. Think I was right. They're never bringing it up again. It never happened.
I think Jason, was it Jason Kadams, the showrunner, is probably like, what in the hell were we thinking?
Yeah. I still think that was like the suits of the station.
Yeah, more drama. The network, I mean, need more drama. It needs to be more like the CW.
It needs to be more like CSI. That's the top rated show on television.
Oh, God.
We need to bring Horatio Caine on an episode. God, I would love that.
And it's just, you think about it, it's just so unnecessary. Like, okay, you're defending Tyra, you hit the guy in the back of the head, kill him, why not go into the store and go...
Let's call the police.
Yeah, call the police, I just killed a man. You know, it could have been solved so easy.
Yeah, and here's another thing. This season, you know, everything could really happen in real life. Which I
yes,
love.
Totally.
The thing that happened to Smash happens all the time. There's these kids who go up through high school. They're superstars, and some kind of injury happens, and they blow their whole trip to college. Their whole family's riding on their success because they're barely hanging on. They have work multiple jobs and stuff. So that's cool storyline. There's also the small town principal who has no money, but everyone loves the football program more than anything. And I thought it was interesting in this episode that Tammy realized she'd picked the wrong battle, or it was a battle she was not going to win. First of all, when Buddy drops the line about how he has golf with the guy who's going to mediate their little meeting or whatever, she just knew she was screwed.
Yeah, there was no way she could win that battle.
And the McCoy mom, I love that scene where they're jogging. She's like, could you slow down? It showed how manic Tammy was. She's talking a mile a minute, and she was angry. And she's like,
I'm still not sure about that McCoy woman.
Yeah, I don't know about that either.
I think there's something going on there. I don't know.
I like the scene with the coach and J.D. McCoy. He's like, you need to gain a little weight. You need to eat some chicken fried steak. He's like, my dad doesn't let me eat fried food, sir. It's bad for
me.
He's been on a program his whole life with his dad, hasn't he?
Hmm.
I gotta say,
what I've been reading, and this isn't really a spoiler, but I guess he becomes very good friends with Riggins. So,
Riggins.
Yeah, exactly.
Riggins always gets you into trouble. Oh my God, this is cutting ahead. Did you see the scenes the next week?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. Well, then I won't say anything. Then.
No, go ahead. I'll watch them later.
Well,
it's not like you're spoiling.
Do you remember that insane meth lab guy?
Oh God, yeah.
He's back next week.
No.
Oh shit. Doesn't look
Riggins
good.
Riggins' brother's gotten into something again.
I'm wondering
sure.
if they're going to go sell that copper wire and that's the dude they're selling it to. Bad news.
You know, they're setting up Riggins' brother for a major fall. The moment that scene a few episodes prior where he said, I can't believe you got a letter from Oklahoma. This is good for us. You know, I see him taking a major fall because of this whole wedding thing and stealing that copper. I mean, it's like those copper spools are easily 5,000 feet apiece. That's a ton of money.
Oh, I know.
Ton of money.
But also, the whole Matt Saracen thing, I love his character. The guy's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. His mom realizes she wants to help him out. That scene where he tells her, you know, why are you here? I need you to go. If you wanted help, it would have been, you know, when I was like, what did he say, like 10 years old or something? When you left, that's when I need you. Now I don't need you anymore.
Comes over with all these like baby pictures and everything, and it's like everything's hunky-dory.
That scene was hardcore, man. I was like, holy shit. And then cut to the next scene where Tyra was supposed to play nurse for Landry. And she's instead she's hanging out this cash guy, and there's even a scene. And I was like, all right, Tyra's doing the right thing. She goes, you know what? I gotta go. I promised my friend. He's like, and he pours on the schmooze. Oh, you ain't going nowhere, little lady. Whatever. And she's like, oh crap. So she ends up not going to Landry. At first, I was like, oh, she's not gonna, stand
it's
him
good
up
for her. You know, yeah.
And then she's like, okay, well, you know, at least call the poor guy, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, she's been leading him on the entire season. I mean, they start out the first episode, they're holding hands as they go into school.
This is the thing where we were kind of cheated as viewers, where last season Landry was dating the speedster girl Daphne from Heroes. She wasn't the same character, by the way. She couldn't run fast.
No, thank God for that. She liked Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, and Tyra starts acting jealous because he's with that girl, so he dumps mm-hmm. her and goes to Tyra, and the last thing we see is she's letting him in the house, and they're making out. And then, of course, the writer strike happened, and we never saw a follow-up episode. But cut to this season, the first episode, they mentioned that now they're broke up, but they're still friends. So we don't know what the hell happened.
But Landry is still, you know, in love with her.
Did they both decide that they weren't meant to be together? Man, we sound total girls right now talking about this.
You know, it's what we were talking about earlier. We talk about the show like these are real people.
I know.
And that's how well done this show is, that we see them as real people, characters, not written.
I could identify with her not wanting to tell the truth to him because she knew he would take it hard. But at the same time, you also know that it's best to probably tell him the truth, because once he will find out, it'll hurt his feelings even more. And that scene where he sees her with that cash guy. And
when she's supposed to be with her sister or something.
Yeah, she says, my aunt, she's not doing well or whatever. And he's like, oh, I hope she feels better. You know, he genuinely feels it. So when he sees them together, I almost think he's just going to sit there and think, what kind of crap is this? But instead, he goes out there and confronts her immediately. Like, wait, I'm starting to think that maybe you were with this guy the whole time. And he says, like, oh, you want a guy who rides a horse or whatever. You know, they have this big argument. So that was, like, heart-wrenching, too.
That was.
And then the scene where the coach goes with Smash to the tryout or whatever it is.
Yeah, the walk-on at Texas A&M.
And the guy's like, I'm sorry, it's not going to work. You guys are going to have to come back some other time. It's like, what? Weren't you like, no, they can't do this to him.
Yeah, I love whenever he went on the field and confronted the coach.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, this is the kind of player you want. He's a football player. He's got heart. And when he turns to Smash, he's like, listen to me more clearly than you've ever listened to me say anything in your life. And that whole speech he gives him, I don't have it memorized or anything, gave me chills.
Yeah. You could see the realization in Smash's eyes.
He just basically tells him, do what you do. And I thought that sequence, I know it's difficult to film sports sequence, but they filmed that walk-on perfectly where you knew you were like proud of what he was accomplishing right there. And I swear I got teary eyed and I was like, I'm not going to cry at this. Please don't. You know, I should have just let go and teared up because that was an awesome moment.
Yeah, it was.
And then cut to later when Smash is at his house and he gets a phone call and he tries not to explode with the good news. His mom goes, who is that? And he's like, oh, it's nobody or whatever.
It was my new pads will be ready.
And she was like, oh, you know who I thought that was? And he goes, Mom, I'm just kidding. And they all celebrate or whatever. That's why you watch the show for moments like that.
And then whenever he goes to see Coach and tells Coach that, you know, he couldn't have done it without him, that was great.
And then the boys are taking him.
Yes, the boys are going to take him up to the school, but first they have to stop and get beer and then stop at the field.
Yeah, great moment. You remember that movie with James Vanderbeek, where it was kind of based on the same...
Yeah, Varsity Blues.
How they made the football players just douchebags, totally unlikable, stupid guys.
Yeah.
This thing, you see these guys on the field, and you love the guys. You love that they're friends, and they take care of each other. Yeah, they're not all douchebags. They're not like Scott Kahn.
They're not caricatures.
Is there anybody worse than Scott Kahn? Seriously.
Oh, no, he's terrible.
Ugh, God.
Then the fat guy with the pig as a pet. Has a heart attack on the field or whatever.
Yeah, he had his cat scanned. He scanned his cat or whatever.
His cat scanned. Foo Fighters.
Oh, man. Why did I bring that up? But seriously, I love Friday Night Lights, and I'm sure I'm forgetting all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, and it's really tragic that this might be the last season.
But hey, Bill, this is only the fourth episode. It was like one of the greatest episodes I've ever seen.
Yeah,
think of how many more episodes.
We're going to get, 13 of these? So I can't wait.
We see Jason Street's back next week.
Yeah, I figured because they wrapped up the the smash, and now they'll go on to Street and wrap up his storyline.
I can't wait to see it. Now, Bill, you ready to do some news, or you want to just skip to DVDs? What do you want to do? Oh, my God.
It's up to you, man. I'll do one or two stories here, and then we'll just do DVDs.
All right, let's do it. Let's do some news! Give me your best stories.
Yeah, really.
No! You're ruining everything!
Oh my God, I'm sorry. We can't do the show all night, you know?
I don't think so.
Oh, that was the ghost of the machine, Bill.
Oh, was it?
How did you first get introduced to the world of cocaine?
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
All right, a genius move by the Maryland legislature. Now, I want one of these signs. Sex offenders in Maryland have begun receiving paper signs in the mail that read, "No candy at this residence," which they must post on their front doors or possibly face a parole violation.
Wow.
Yeah, the signs began arriving last week in the mailboxes of about 1,200 violent and child sex offenders across Maryland. The signs were accompanied by a letter explaining they must stay at home, turn off lights, and not answer the door on Halloween. That sounds like what I do on Halloween. You know, it would really help if I had one of these signs.
Turn the porch light off. We're going to start knocking any moment. We've done that before.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Whenever I lived in an apartment complex, like, the kids would come around, and I would forget, and they're knocking at the door, and I answer it, and I'm like
here's some chips, yeah. And...
here's a rock.
Yeah, Charlie Brown. Here's a rock.
I got a rock.
Poor
Charlie. I'll never forget
Brown.
One year, I actually went through the trouble. I went to the store. I spent like $100 on candy, and because I always thought, you know, Halloween was awesome as a kid. So I spent like $100 on these, like, those snack size candies, and I got Ziploc bags, and I mixed like the perfect like candy bag. Like, if a kid got this, be like, "Holy crap, man, I got a Snickers and Dippin' Sticks and stuff." All the stuff that I loved as a kid that I thought was awesome. All in one bag. You know, and then I do this and I'm ready and I have this, my lights on and everything, and I'm ready to give out this candy. Two kids. And I'm stuck with a garbage bag full of these like
holy crap, of
candy that took me like a day to do. Needless to say, I gained like 50 pounds.
Hell, you'd share the candy with me, man.
I just ate all that candy. I think I fell into a diabetic coma at one point.
Well, I was going to say that.
Like a week of my life.
We usually go to the in-laws' neighborhood to trick or treat. So our house, we turn off all the lights and stick. You know, one time we stuck this Halloween bowl. Specifically, a big Halloween bowl full of candy outside. And when we got home, I was like, "Where's the bowl?" And it was gone. So,
oh, really?
Some kid just took the bowl with them.
Those bastards.
So I was like, "Screw this. We're not leaving shit anymore."
You know, when I was a kid, I always hated the people that gave popcorn balls and coins.
I also hate those orange balls of chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Those things
are
nasty. Some nasty shit.
The chocolate coins, the orange balls. Yeah, those are bad.
Ugh.
And the people, there was always old people that would give apples.
Oh, yeah.
And they're,
right,
and coins. Like, they give you 50 cents. Like, what the hell? What am I going to do with this? Give me candy.
Yeah.
All right. This is a good story out of Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Sheboygan.
A 19-year-old in the town of Sheboygan is in jail. Wednesday, after police say he approached an officer to confess he had sex with a 13-year-old girl.
Oh, God.
Yeah, a Sheboygan police officer was conducting an unrelated traffic stop Tuesday evening when he saw Mario Paz and told him he needed a light on his bicycle. The criminal complaint says Paz then confessed to having sex with an underage girl.
He just blurted it out?
"You need a light on your bike. I had sex with an underage girl."
"I'm sorry, I had to come to this."
talk about guilt-ridden. Paz is charged with a felony sexual assault of a child under 16. If convicted, he faces up to 25 years in prison.
Wow.
You look a little uncomfortable.
The complaint says Paz met the girl 2 weeks ago and asked her repeatedly to have sex with him, which she consented to in the basement of a friend's house. Wow. I mean, come on. Dude. What the hell?
Wow. Is it Mike Cooper? What happened to that guy?
You know, kids are getting... I mean, they mature earlier and earlier, but still... Oof. That's just creepy. And for him to just go, oh, I'm sorry, officer. I'll get the light. And by the way, I had sex with a 13-year-old.
Good. Go to jail, you little shit.
All right, here's an idiot. A burglar who went to the same ATM more than 50 times to try and guess the PIN numbers of bank cards he's stolen is now in jail.
Well,
an idiot.
I'm going to get it right this time.
It just reminds me of the time, like, I remember whenever we had parties at my friend's house, we would all sit around and dial the phone sex number and just dial in random numbers trying to get a credit card right.
I'm going to guess a credit card number.
Yeah, one of these will be right. So taxi driver Trevor Agnew, 44, thought he might strike lucky if he kept on putting in random sets of four numbers into the ATM machine. But
he could have done like the Mentalist on this recent episode.
What he needed was that computer that John Connor has in Terminator 2.
Oh, yeah. Insert stolen PIN card now. PIN number now. Whatever. Insert stolen card now. Damn. It's got the line wrong.
But with the odds of correctly guessing a PIN number ranked at 1 in 10,000, Agnew never managed to make a single withdrawal. In fact, they probably... I mean, after like four times, don't they keep your card?
Yeah, he would have to guess... Not just... He couldn't just randomly guess any PIN number. It'd be the specific PIN number of that card. The guy's a idiot. Good Lord.
It does not compute.
And he's got to go to jail, and he didn't even really do anything, did he?
No, he's just an idiot.
Wow.
You're going to jail because you're an idiot.
It
I mean,
just
he
makes
doesn't,
you look like an ass.
All ATM machines have those closed-circuit TV cameras on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank God for that.
Time you go up, deactivate, and record.
What a dipshit.
In Terre Haute... A man remained in a local hospital Wednesday with leg injuries from a gunshot, and a preliminary charge are pending against him for allegedly trying to hijack a backhoe. Deckard, 42, will be taken to the Vigo County Jail. Vigo! After his release from the hospital on allegations of carjacking, a Class B felony, criminal mischief, and battery. According to a local police officer, Mark Tarr, 48, was operating a backhoe at a business when Deckard walked up to the machine, climbed in through the back window, and placed him in a headlock.
What?
After a struggle, Tarr managed to escape the backhoe and to get to his truck where he called 911. Deckard allegedly operated the backhoe for a short period of time before breaking the gears. He got out and began to walk away, then approached Tarr in an aggressive manner. Tarr then reportedly shot Deckard in the leg, noting the incident took place about 3 p.m. Tuesday. Alcohol may have been the reason this occurred, said the police officer. No.
Nice.
I mean, just walking by, someone's in a backhoe and be like, damn, backhoe, I always wanted to try one of those.
Ride that.
What? This is cool. Oh, put the guy in a headlock.
Let me grab a control of that damn backhoe, you son of a bitch.
Here's a story of a bunch of stupid kids. An explosion inside a car that injured three teenagers Thursday afternoon was sparked when one of the girls lit a cigarette and ignited fumes from an aerosol air freshener the teens had been huffing.
Oh.
Idiots. 18-year-old, 16-year-old, or two 16-year-olds, were in the back seat, suffered second-degree burns, all treated at the hospital.
You look a little uncomfortable.
They said that, in case you were wondering what the flavors were of the what they were huffing, I think, what is it? One of them was pina colada, which is always tasty. And the other one was orange.
Did they get caught in the rain?
No, but
it just makes you look like an ass.
I'm sorry. It wasn't pina colada. It was mango pineapple.
Oh,
so that's even better. So that was tasty. And then they sent it. I guess the heat was so intense whenever she lit the cigarette from the fumes that it melted the dashboard.
Holy shit! Seriously, how desperate are you when you decide to start huffing stuff? I got nothing else. Let's huff this shit.
And last story, which is just hilarious. I love stupid people. A small-time mafia gang has been branded idiots after sending a donkey's head to a shopkeeper in an ill-conceived stunt apparently lifted from The Godfather.
Poor little guys.
The gang's target, a local bread shop owner who had refused to pay protection money, was so puzzled by the confused threat that he presumed it was a practical joke. Woltz wake up one morning to find a bloody head laying next to him in his bed and immediately consented to the request by the Don, played by Marlon Brando in the 1972 film The Godfather. but while that threat made sense, the head of Woltz's prized thoroughbred stallion, there was no such context for the donkey. The man didn't know the donkey, he didn't own the donkey, and he doesn't care about donkeys. It didn't make sense. It was the work of idiots, a police spokesman said. This is not the first time that mafia gangs have taken inspiration from the Godfather film and Mario Puzo's original book, which chronicled the lives of post-war Italian American crime family. Earlier this year, the deputy mayor of Ostuni in southern Italy discovered that a severed horse's head had been left on the staircase of his office. It was dismissed as the work of a madman. In 2006, a woman in New York had been the victim of a campaign of harassment and found a severed horse head in her swimming pool.
These people, nobody has original ideas anymore.
No, they don't. Wow. It's just too funny. A donkey.
Oh,
I love
dude.
The quote from the cop.
Meeting's over.
The man didn't know the donkey. He didn't own the donkey. He doesn't care about donkeys. it was the work of idiots.
Son of a bitch!
And that's the news for this week.
Well, thanks, Bill. That was a good short news segment. And you know what? Since I knew Steven wasn't going to be here, I put together a special mix of the DVD song.
This ought to be interesting.
Yeah, I hope everyone enjoys this. So let's get ready for some DVDs. Let's do it!
Yeah, did you go... did you go lure... Yeah, did you go... Yeah, what did you go do?
Woohoo! Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah!
That was awesome!
Yeah, what did you bull do? What did Lou Lou Lou?
I love it.
Gosh, Stephen.
Comedy gold, I love it.
All right, DVDs for October.
What did you bull do? What do you got in the DVDs this week, Bill?
DVDs for October 10th, or I'm sorry, shit, October 28th, 2008. All right, starting off with the 4400, the complete series.
Ooh, kind of like Heroes, only not.
Yeah. Video introduction by the series creator Scott Peters.
I'd like to introduce you to my show. Okay, hit play.
I'm Scott Peters.
I invented the 4400.
Audio commentary on the pilot episode.
Nice. Remember what I said about worthless commentaries? You know what?
Yeah.
That's not all of them. I said like 98%, right? Some are good.
Yeah. Next DVD set is Abbott and Costello, the complete Universal Pictures collection.
Hey, Abbott!
Yeah, 28 movies.
Holy shit! Those guys were prolific, man.
I remember watching these as a kid, and I loved them. So I mean, I wouldn't buy this, but it's
only if I can rub your testicles.
Yeah, it's certainly tempting. Maybe I'll put it on my Christmas list. Maybe somebody will get it for me. But it's got all kinds of little features, like includes classic routines from the most popular films. Abbott and Costello meet Jerry Seinfeld, where he hosts a tribute to Bud and Lou. And Abbott and Costello meet the monsters, behind-the-scenes look at their films. That's like Frankenstein, Dracula, Wolfman.
Those guys met a lot of monsters.
They did. They met. In fact, not only did they meet monsters, they met the gang from Scooby-Doo at one point.
That's right.
The worst that'll be in here.
The worst Scooby-Doo is when Jonathan Winters was with the Scooby-Doo gang.
That was pretty terrible. Jerry Reed's one was pretty bad, too.
Jerry Reed, that's right. That's awesome.
Sweet Mary Sunshine. All right. This has six feature commentaries by noted film historians. So I guess if you want to hear a drab commentary about
those stuffy film historians love that shit.
They really do. Speaking of stuffy films, Baraka, a special edition Blu-ray, shot in breathtaking 70mm in 24 countries on 6 continents.
Whoa.
Baraka is a transcendent global tour that explores the sights and sounds of the human condition like nothing you've ever seen or felt before.
Is this like that Kronos thing?
Yeah, exactly. It
Quiana
really
Scotzi or some shit like that?
Yeah, it's from the cinematographer of that Quiana Scotzi.
Quiana Scotzi.
What's big about this one is that it's the first Blu-ray to be mastered in that 8K Ultra Digital.
Whoa.
So it's for those huge plasmas that no one will ever buy because they cost $200,000.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Or those projectors that are about as equally as much. Next DVD is one that I'm definitely interested in. I put it on my Netflix queue. Dead Space Downfall.
It's bravado.
It's the prequel to the game. It shows how all this went down.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's animated?
It's an anime. Says, on a deep space mining mission to a remote planet, an ancient religious relic thought to be proof of the existence of God is unearthed and brought aboard. It is worshipped by some, scorned by others, but when the unholy artifact unleashes a long-dormant alien race, its glimpse of heaven transforms into a ship into a living hell.
Aw, that sucks.
Yeah, chaos is immediate, carnage is uncontrollable, blah, 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 blah. It's
Sam Neill's not in the game, right?
No, he's not.
Okay, just making sure.
And there isn't some big, like, spinning ball thing.
This is how we bend time. Let me take this piece of paper and explain to you.
Funny. I saw that movie when I was in high school, and I went with my friend Rick, and he couldn't quite wrap his head around the whole bending time thing. So he thought at the end, whenever the ship disappeared, I guess it was in the orbit of Neptune. He thought that the ship went to Neptune.
Nice.
He didn't quite get that it jumped through the hole into hell or whatever. He thought Neptune was hell. Oh. He was like, I learned that Neptune's hell. I was like, dude, no. Neptune isn't hell.
I'm not kidding when I say that I had a friend. It was one of those things where me and my wife, I had a very good friend who was married, and he was like, you got to come over and hang out with my wife, and we'll go out to dinner or whatever. And we ended up going back to their house, and he was like, dude, have you ever seen Event Horizon? I was like, no. He's like, dude, you've never seen Event Horizon? No. You gotta watch it, man. And I think it was already midnight or something. Dude, you gotta watch it. Come on, please. You gotta watch this. I was like, oh, okay. So we stayed up till like 2:30 a.m. at their house watching this shit. And he's like, huh? What? What'd you think? I was like, yes, it's all right. And I think the drive home, I was like, Jesus Christ, what a pile of shit. And we stayed there in the middle of the night for that? He was like, this is the second coming, man.
I really liked it when I was in high school, but as I grew up and watched, I was like, it's still a decent watch.
It's got great set design. It's got great cinematography, but at the same time, I'd rather watch Sunshine.
Yeah, the first and only decent film by Paul W.S. Anderson.
Right.
Yeah.
Besides masterpiece Resident Evil, though.
Yeah, really. Next DVD is Hellride. DVD Whoa. And Blu-ray. From the writer-director Larry Bishop, produced by Quentin Tarantino.
I've heard that name before somewhere.
He's Larry Bishop?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a stuntman.
Not that.
So it's Michael Madsen, Eric Balfour, and Dennis Hopper.
So it's a stuntman turned director, much like Hal Needham?
Hal Needham, yeah.
Guy's a genius.
Except I guess this Hell Ride is kind of like Larry Bishop's Megaforce.
Okay.
So it's also got Vinnie Jones,
their small
motorcycle gang bent on avenging the death of one of their own. I've heard it's terrible, but it's supposed to be terrible. It's like a grindhouse movie.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned the bikers. I don't think I've mentioned on the show that I'm still watching Sons of Anarchy.
I've heard it's actually gotten better.
I've grown to really like the show.
I'm going to check it out. It's on Hulu.
It still has... I think they have every episode on Hulu. It still has over-the-top violence, but I'm starting to really like it and the insane characters and stuff. And
yeah.
They need to get Vinnie Jones on that show.
That would be cool.
Do you not know who I am? He must not know who I am. I'm the juggernaut, bitch. I'm going to hit you with your own pimp.
Oh, God. The fact that they included that into the movie is just sad. Next DVD, I know you've been waiting for this, Journey to the Center of the Earth on DVD and Blu-ray
with
Brendan Fraser.
Yeah! In 3D? Oh, hell yeah!
I don't think it's in 3D.
Your shit's all retarded.
Thank you, Zerk.
No, seriously, though, it's not in 3D, but so when I'm watching the movie and shit keeps flying at the screen, I'll be like, why is shit flying at the screen?
Why is shit flying at the screen? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like.
It almost made me shoot pop out my nose.
I think if I watch this with my daughter, we might get a kick out of it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Jumanji type thing.
It has the kid from Zathura in it, and she loves that movie.
Hutcherson.
Yeah. Walter from Zathura. That's who she knows him. Hey, it's Walter. So I think we might get a kick out of it.
Yeah, why not?
And plus, Brendan Fraser, he's dreamy.
He's George of the Jungle.
He hasn't quite gotten that deformity of Judge Reinhold, though.
No, not yet, but I'm sure it's coming. It's on its way.
That's so sad. What age am I going to deform? Oh, it's good. It's coming soon.
Well, Jonathan Lipnicki got it early. So
by the way,
lucky.
I just say I still like the Easy Money show, but I'm afraid it's going to be canceled any week now.
Yeah, I know. It's on Sundays, right?
Sundays on the CW.
Because it's such a long wait for some reason when a show's on Sunday.
You know what? Wednesdays is perfect for Friday Night Lights. It always seems like, oh, shit, there's new Friday Night Lights tonight? It's like it sneaks up on you. But
I think it's because it's the middle of the week. You just don't expect it in the middle of the week. But it's a great night for it. All right. Something that is going on my Christmas list. The Little Rascals Complete Collection DVDs. Hey.
I love the Little Rascals as a kid.
As a
God,
kid,
I love that.
My dad would get these VHS tapes and copy them for me.
I thought they were the funniest thing.
When I was, 6 years old, I had no idea what racism was.
Yeah, we talked about that before.
I thought it was funny. And now you look at them and it's like, wow, this is really racist.
There's one where they build like a giant car. Do you remember that? Like a giant fake fire engine or something? As a kid, I loved that episode. Man, I loved it. So I was like, dude, I want a giant like fire engine and they're going down the street and stuff. That shit was awesome.
I've said it before, my favorite episode, the one where Stymie keeps wishing Cotton was a monkey.
Yeah.
And then a monkey escapes, throws a magician's smoke bomb, and then Cotton runs off, and the monkey takes its place, and Stymie thinks that Cotton's a monkey.
People like
so
you
racist,
take that quote
yet,
way out of context.
So fun.
Oh.
All right, next DVD, Millennium, the complete DVD collection.
Nice.
The Lance
Tiny,
Hendrickson
smelly
show.
And dirty.
I love that show. I love Lance Henriksen.
Yeah, I remember watching it.
What the hell happened to Lance Henriksen, by the way?
I think he still appears in bad movies.
The last thing I saw him in was the Alien vs. Predator, the first one.
Yeah.
He has a great death scene, too.
I always forget that... I always confuse Lance Henriksen with Scott Glenn for some reason.
Yeah, I can see that. They're both wrinkly.
Yes, they're both wrinkly. All right.
Wait, can I just say I love that part in Alien vs. Predator? Remember, he's the original bishop, right?
Yeah.
And he's dying of cancer, and the Predator picks him up and does that and sees that he's got cancer, so he's not really much of a, you know, he's no challenge. So he just sets him down and turns away from him. And Lance Henriksen takes his oxygen thing and has a flare, and he goes, "Don't you turn your back on me!" And goes, like, blows fire at him, like, creates his own flamethrower in a matter of seconds. And
this
thing,
a genius.
And the Predator gets pissed off and kills him. But that was, I love how he goes, "Don't you turn your back on me!" Awesome. Which was also the same guy who did Event Horizon. 6 degrees of Event Horizon.
Wow. This is a big week for him on our show.
Yes.
Okay.
Paul W.S. Anderson loved There Will Be Blood.
All right. Next
DVD, I'll always do that joke. I don't care, Bill.
I hate that joke. All right.
Any Takashi Mike movies.
Mystery Science Theater 3000, the 20th anniversary edition.
Nice.
Now, this one includes four movies that people have been waiting for a long time to come out, you know, in this way. I mean, I have them as they were recorded off their channels, but now you get First Spaceship on Venus, Laser Blast. Yeah. Werewolf,
classic.
Which is hilarious and bad, and the one that tops the list as one of the worst ever, Future War. Whoa. Where Robert Zadar plays a cyborg master that controls, get this, dinosaurs.
Awesome!
Yeah, it's such a bad movie. It's really terrible.
Have we ever... we've talked about Robert Zadar a lot on the show, but if no one knows who he is, he's that guy who played the maniac cop that has a gigantic jaw.
He's just got a huge head.
It's unbelievably...
like a gigantic square head.
He's got elephantitis of the skull, basically.
Yeah. He's just got this enormous face.
He's got a huge jaw, man. Huge. He was in Tango and Cash, too, and...
yeah, he was.
I thought it was very rude when they make fun of his jaw in the movie. I thought it was going to hurt the actor's feelings. You know
what
I mean?
He's built up a very thick skin.
Because he's a big dude. I guess he could pound you into the ground, you know?
Oh, yeah. He is a huge guy. And he's been in so many movies, it's ridiculous.
Don't mess with Robert Zadar.
No. I'd love to talk to him before he kicks the bucket.
What?
You know what's funny? Is
he in poor health? Or
I don't know. He's got to be with a jaw like that.
I wonder if, like, when he was younger, his jaw, like, ached a lot when it was growing.
It had to. I bet you that was a bitch for his mom to get that noggin out.
Oh, my God.
All right, that's enough.
Oh, sorry.
Did you know that his name is actually Robert J. Zadarsky?
Ah.
Zadarsky.
Oh, you know who his agent suggested that.
Yeah. Why don't you do Z apostrophe D A R?
Yeah, what did you bowl do? Lou, you...
All right. Exactly. So, and then the DVD also includes a three-part look at the 20-year history of MST3K, brand new interviews, footage from the 2008 San Diego Comic-Con International Reunion Panel, where they, you know, they also talk about cinematic Titanic there. Original trailers, it's in a limited edition tin box, which is cool. Four exclusive lobby cards by artist Steve Vance, and a limited edition crow figurine.
Nice.
I already have pre-ordered.
Sweet. So you're going to have a crow robot and a Gears of War gun?
Yes.
Pretty awesome, dude.
I'll put the Crow robot on the Gears of War gun.
I love Crow. But Tom Servo, I gotta admit, was always my favorite.
Yeah, I always liked... I liked Crow when it was Trace Ballou doing his voice. I wasn't a big fan of the Bill Corbett version of Crow, but I digress. That's really geeky.
Watch out for snakes!
Tom Servo. All right, National Lampoon's Animal House 30th Anniversary Edition gift set. I don't know how many times this movie has been released, but it's ridiculous at this point.
I do love the movie, though.
Oh, yeah, it's a classic.
Forget it, he's rolling. It is.
But it's got a bunch of bonus material, an Animal House-themed version of the game Seen It, and a new documentary. So there you go. And it includes a Faber College yearbook.
Is it on Blu-ray yet? What's going on there?
No, no Blu-ray yet, but hopefully soon.
Damn, what the hell?
Next DVD is News Radio, the complete series.
I love that show. I love News Radio.
Terrific show. I think I might pick it up because I've been waiting for the complete series set.
The whole series is worth it for Jimmy James, the guy who owns the station, played by Stephen Root.
Stephen, what's his last name?
Root?
Yes.
If anyone's wondered what this drop comes from...
Screw the small judo man.
That's from News Radio.
Yes, it is.
Awesome.
All right, next DVD is Polar Express, presented in 3D DVD and Blu-ray.
Wow.
I would love to see what this looks like in 3D. I already own the HD DVD of it.
The visuals are incredible in that. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, but it's kind of creepy, like the disembodied eyes.
That is true. I mean, they do the human realism, and it kind of isn't exactly right, and it kind of comes off a little creepy, but you get used to it.
Dead.
Yeah, you do get used to it though, and it's all done with clay.
And it's
awesome.
It's a gorgeous movie and a really terrific story, appropriate for Christmas or any time.
Is it true that it was based on a book that has no dialogue? It's all visual. So it's like,
I never had that book, The Polar Express, so I couldn't tell you. But I have no idea.
You know, one thing that is true though is that Eddie Deason does a voice in it.
He does, and he plays a character that looks much like him, younger version of him.
I love it.
All right, finishing up Sanford and Son, the complete series. If you love Red Fox,
I love Red Fox. That dude's awesome.
There you go.
And
hey, what's that?
The last two DVDs are a Super Mario Brothers Super Show collection.
Oh, Jesus.
Remember the Captain Lou Albano? Terrible, terrible show. But it's the cartoons.
That shit is unwatchable, seriously.
It really is. Well, I find the ending so funny, that do the Marios thing, because there's a moment right at the end of it where he does kind of like a stance, and then he loses his footing and has to take an extra step forward to keep himself balanced. And that always cracked me up that they left that in. Like, do the Mario! And then he does this, like, he splits his legs and moves one forward. And then he's like, oh! And he kind of stumbles forward again.
You know, it was like we love Nintendo and stuff like that. And that show comes on, it's like, oh, what is this shit? This is what they come up with? And remember the Link cartoon? You would just watch it to watch the Link... The Zelda cartoon, but you're like, come on, you can't do better than this, people.
Well, then there was Captain N, too. Remember that? He had the fight in the Metroid, the Mother Brain.
Oh, it sucked. Come on.
It was really bad. And the Mario cartoons themselves were pretty terrible, too.
Italian plumbers everywhere were up in arms over that.
Oh, I know.
Very offensive.
It was so funny how the Italian groups would always fight about the Sopranos. What about Mario Brothers Super Show? Seriously.
Yeah.
It was terrible. All right. And that's DVDs for this week, released on Tuesday, October 28th.
Awesome, Bill. Awesome.
Thank you.
That was the DVDs, everybody. Now, let's cut into a different part of the show. No, I got nothing. Thanks for doing the DVDs, Bill.
No problem.
I'm having trouble segueing. Whatever. I'm just going to play the clip.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And see you.
Yeah, what did you bowl do? Lou, you...
Not again! Writing a letter to a stupid pumpkin? You make me the laughing stock of the neighborhood. All they talk about is my little brother, who always writes to the great pumpkin. You better cut it out right now or I'll pound you.
There are three things I have learned never to discuss with people. Religion, politics, and the great pumpkin.
Words to Live by Linus.
I love Linus.
All right, everybody. That was our special episode, extra long episode, called Episode 143. And I'm having problems. My brain's not working anymore.
You know, it's pretty standard at this point where we end at 12:30 my time. I mean, that's what we've been ending at for the
and
past couple
weeks. And just
think,
when we come back on November 14th, it will be at 9, 8 Central, so it'll actually be an hour earlier.
Oh, thank God for that.
I'll be ending at 10:30, and it'll be 11:30 where you live. In your neck of the woods, as they say.
I think on our break, we should really dive into that special thing we've been thinking about doing.
Which was what? I can't remember.
With the movie thing, you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you meant break on the show, but you mean break when we're gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
I got you. Wink, wink. I know what you're talking about now.
I don't want to give too much away.
Right. And maybe we get people to donate money to us. But anyway.
Please.
That was episode 143 of Nowhere Mulberry. Thank you for joining us this evening, everyone at nimchat.com. And anybody who wants to listen to the show live, who listens via podcast, we cut out all the ums and the ahs. No, actually, we don't. So,
no, we don't. Not anymore.
So say something about that, huh? We leave in the ums and the ahs, so it's still natural.
Based.
You know, no one really knows what I'm talking about, but one day I'll explain it to everyone. Another thing is that you could call and leave us a voicemail at 1-206-202-3491. Also go to nowhereinmulberry.com. And then you'll find a link to our chat room where you can listen to the show live on Fridays at 9, 8 Central, starting 2 weeks from now, November 14th. How was that, Bill?
Excellent. And I couldn't have done it better.
We were talking about different things, like changing different formats or something around with the show. Maybe the show will be a little bit different in 2 weeks. Maybe it won't. I don't know. We're going to talk
It'll
about it a lot.
It'll be exactly the same.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But main thing I was thinking of is changing news into more entertainment, more what we talk about kind of thing.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens there.
Just want to mess around with it a little bit. Don't get scared, people.
Yeah, we need to become more successful, actually. We're also thinking of going to Now Live also, kind of talking about that, maybe getting more listeners, but I don't know.
Some built-in advertisement on Now Live.
We'll debate some more. We'll see what happens there.
It's going to be 2 weeks. We got a lot of time.
But also remember that we have Mulberry Old School linked on nowheremulberry.com, and you can listen to all of our old episodes. You can even find our old Halloween episode. This is one of my favorite episodes we ever did, Bill, where it was when Vanessa was still on the show, and we were at the Mulberry Town Mall and doing the show.
Oh, yes.
While zombies were trying to get in. And it has
and Steven had to set off the A-bomb.
Yeah, it has an exciting ending there. And it's one of my favorite intros I've done, too. So if anybody
very,
wants to,
very fun episode.
It is. I really like it a lot. I think Peter Petrelli liked it a lot. Right, Peter? Oh, my God. Maybe he didn't like it at all.
Oh, I think that's him cheering.
Sorry, Steven. Steven's in a bad mood. He didn't want to say
a
word.
He really is. I don't understand his attitude.
What's wrong with you, Steven? What's the deal?
Yeah, what did you bowl do? Lou, you...
What?
I don't know. Before we go, Bill, just one more time. I'm sorry. We got to do this.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you bowl... Yeah, did you bowl... You... Yeah, did you bowl Lou or you... Yeah, did you bowl you... Yeah, did you bowl lure...
Lure, lure?
Yeah, did Lou bowl...
What the hell's that sound?
Yeah, what did you bowl do, Lou you... Yeah, what did...
he says three times.
Did you bowl lure you hosers to this volcano with fatbacks and donuts?
Yeah, and I still don't even know what the line means.
And I love how he whispers it the more he screws up. Like, he's hoping you're in the other room not hearing him. But it's being recorded, so it doesn't really matter if he whispers.
But I still... Mick McCarr, explain me what that line means, because I don't know. I don't even remember.
I think I have the script somewhere on my computer, but it's late.
What's a fatback?
Fatback is like pork fat off of, you know, fatback.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
They can get like cracklins and shit from that.
Cracklins? What's that?
Yeah, you know, they're like extra crunchy pork rinds.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They're kind of gross.
Anything coming from pigs got to be good, though.
Well, I can eat them, but don't eat a lot of them because you'll get sick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When you know, one thing about the pork rinds is that they stink so bad.
And my God, don't they?
When someone's sitting there munching on them, you walk in the room, you're like, dude, what is that smell? Or, man, you want some pork rinds? It's like, God, you smell horrible. Get the hell out.
It's also like, I mean, we're eating pig skin.
Ew.
You know what's good about cracklins, though? Cracklins always have a little bit of meat on them.
Right.
So it's like skin, fat, meat. But I digress.
Well, it was fun, Bill. We're going to be on vacation. Woohoo!
Oh, my God. My dog just farted and it reeks.
Oh, my God. What the hell?
Thanks, Ed.
Well, on that note, Bill...
Happy Halloween, ladies.
He's growling at me now.
He knows you're making fun of him.
Screw you little shit.
He's gassy. Do you ever give him, like, candy bars or anything like that?
No. No, I'm sorry. I don't want to kill him right away. I mean, I want him to die, but he's 11. He can die soon.
Growing up, I always had friends who had dogs. They always fed them people food. Dogs had horrible diets, you know? Eating whatever you're eating at the table.
I gave him some leftover chicken tonight. I think that's what stinks.
Okay, well, that's it, Bill. That's the show. See you next week, everybody. And how many people were in the chat room tonight? Do I even want to know?
Five.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Five?
Yeah, including me.
Hey, so there's four?
Does that count?
See, yeah. You announced that we're not going to be here next week, and they took it as this week.
I know. I really honestly think that they thought it was this week, not... Yeah, so...
Wow. All right, well, see you guys in 2 weeks on November 14th at 9, 8 Central, only here at nimchat.com. Have a good one!
Is that it?
That's it.
Is that it, Ed?
Your cleavage is busting out. It's in my face.
Woohoo!
Now this is podcasting.
And it keeps getting funnier every single time.